Philadelphia.
The following is an exclusive production of the Penn Sports Network at 950 ESPN Radio, Philadelphia, broadcasting University of Pennsylvania men's basketball.
Offensive rebound, Bochel, off the ball, re-gathered, patiently waits, and there's a big 2 points for Brendan Bochel. Picks off the pass, and it's a Jack Kulak for the slam, and he hangs on for a little more. Jack attacks, beats Belton. All right, for three, yes! Mike wants the can underneath for the jam. Kick out, Dickey. For three in the lead. Count it for Cam. Dickey, touch pass to a zero corner. Rosen. Good! The first field goal for the Red Bull rookie point guard.
University of Pennsylvania men's basketball in its 109th tradition-rich season is on the air. 2008-2009 Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNA, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sports Network, Holiday Inn Historic District, Independent Food Cross, Being at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Eco Energy, the Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Sprint Church, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. Setting the scene for the game, going around the Ivy League, and bringing you inside the program with Quaker head coach Glenn Miller. It's the Penn Men's Basketball pregame show presented by Pepsi. Now, courtside, here's former Penn center, three-time letter winner for the Quakers, Vince Curran, and the play-by-play voice of Penn Men's Basketball, Brian Seltzer.
Penn's push for an Ivy League title is now a slim, slim possibility. But the Red and Blue have an aim in mind as they head into the home stretch of their 2008-2009 campaign. Restore some pride, particularly here on their home floor, where they're winless in 4 8-minute outings so far. With that, from the Colestra capacity 8,722 on the campus of the University of Pennsylvania in University City, this is Penn Basketball alongside the man, Vince Curran. Brian Selfie, good to see you, man, as always.
You missed me last Saturday?
I did indeed, man.
Did my best, you know?
I had a good television performance going.
Phenomenal.
I would expect nothing less.
Phenomenally well, yes.
You and Tom McCarthy, that is a dynamic
duo. Yes, indeed.
On the two. Well, Vin Man, you missed the conclusion of what was a real rough weekend for the Red and Blue, losing two games, swept by Harvard and Dartmouth, losing them at home in the same season for the first time since 1941. Not great for the Quakes, but this young core, bottom line, they desperately need these final five contests to set the tone going forward.
It reminds me a little bit. I hate announcers that say, well, when I was playing, well, I'm going to give you one of them right now. My first senior year, I'll call it Chelsea, we won our last four Ivy League games to finish a whopping 9-16 or something atrocious like that. The next year, Jerome Allen comes on campus, and Eric Moore and Sean Trice and Scott Kegler, and 16-9 or 16-10, and then 42-game Ivy League winning streak starts the second Ivy League campus. The point is that this team has some components, and they just need a couple star quality players, all league quality players to help complement this group that's already here, and things can turn around quickly, especially in the Ivy League, where right now the depth of talent in the league is not as deep as it's been in years past.
Penn at 8-15 overall, 4-5 in conference competition. That puts them in the sixth place spot. They're hosting Yale. Yale 11-13 overall. They're in a three-way tie for second with Columbia and Dartmouth. All of those clubs boasting hooks and four marks in Ivy League play. So Yale still with something to play for, even though Cornell is front-running in the league at 8-2. Penn defeated Yale the first meeting of these two teams. That was back on Valentine's Day, and the Quakers took that contest by a score of 68-63 in a great, great win. On the other side, we'll hear from the Quaker head coach, Glenn Miller, as he sits down with Vince Curran as the Pepsi pregame show this week. here on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to Duke Chucklehead Sox Sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest. Fill your thoughts.
Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you
no,
are.
You no, are.
You are. Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989,
come
the Wave
on.
Is about as cool as acid wash pet jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree?
Why is it inexcusable? Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine. We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious. G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice, but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matters. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing. You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Ten Quakers seem to stop a slide of two straight losses where the Yale Bulldogs look to keep rolling along with two wins in a row. They defeated Columbia and defending Ivy League champion Cornell last weekend at home. But they are on the road at the Palestra, and earlier this evening, the Quakers head coach Glenn Miller sat down with my partner Vince Kern to chat about this evening's matchup.
Vince Kern here with Coach Glenn Miller. Coach, as you wind down the season, five games left, the race is kind of taking shape. As you look forward to the end of the season and the rest of the season, what are some goals that you have for your team to try and end this year on a positive note and go into next year and building towards something?
Well, we want to utilize every day to get better and hopefully gain some momentum. You always want to win. You're always playing for the present, always playing for the future. You want to win every game you can, so we're focused on doing that, and hopefully we can have some success and build some momentum. Finish strong, build some momentum going into the offseason. It's very important with a young team.
I know it's been an up and down year, and you may at this point be almost too close to it to really give a full evaluation, but I'm sure that when you guys are evaluating the tapes and looking at the game, you see things that have discouraged you and things that have encouraged you. Give me a couple of things that you've been encouraged by the group this year.
Well, I like the energy, the focus that the guys bring to practice every day. They do recognize their deficiencies, their weaknesses, areas of the game they have to improve upon individually and collectively. And, you know, I think that's very important if we're to make the progress that we want to make as a team. And, from day one right to, you know, I don't know how many practices we have left. We have 2 weeks of the season left. So, you know, they continue to come to practice every day to get better.
You talked a little bit about energy right there. I saw Kevin Iggy came off the bench, played with a lot of energy on Saturday night in the last game, shot the ball, hit some threes for you. How encouraging was that, and how positive a sign was that for you when you get that kind of play from one of your seniors as he's winding down his college career?
Well, it's real impressive. Kevin's always been a great team guy and a player that the coaches love to coach every day. He has a terrific attitude for the program, and it seems like in the last week or so, he's even taken it up a notch with his enthusiasm, his energy, and his determination. And when you're out of the race and you have a senior who's trying to ratchet up a gear, that speaks volumes for the type of person he is and what this program means to him. So he's going to start tonight, and I think he's going to have a great game.
Talking about as you head into these last couple games, struggles at home in the Ivy season so far. The group seems to play just a little bit different, maybe a little tighter. Have you guys gone through anything in practice? Say, hey, let's loosen up a little bit, or we're going to come out of the visitor's locker room tonight just to break the momentum. What have you guys seen, and how are you trying to address that?
Yeah, the hell with everybody. We're just going to come out and play, Vince, right?
No, I think in all seriousness, we're a young team. There's no doubt we've struggled. And I think it's common across the country for a struggling basketball team probably to be a little more relaxed to go and play on the road. This is a great place to play. We have terrific fans, but there's a sense of that you've let down your fans when you're not as good as they'd like you to be. And we're probably our worst critics as coaches and as players. So you try to come out at home, I think, with a little less self-esteem with a young team, and it's a little more difficult when you're struggling like we are to play well at home. With that said, you've got to find a way. You know, we have three more home games, and this over the years has been a great place to play, and it will continue to be. But a team that's struggling with their confidence and their play, a little more comfortable on the road, believe it or not.
That is the John R. Rockwell, head coach of men's basketball, Tony Glenn Miller, sitting alongside.
Cut off my interview.
Well, here, yeah, we have to get to the starting five for each.
The whole pregame show, the whole postgame show, all selfie highlights, all selfie all the time. I finally get a little airtime, and you cut my stuff?
Well, we actually have delayed the tip time here because Yale was late arriving to the arena this evening at the Palestra. They said it's going to be around 7:13, but it's 10 after 7 right now. I can't see them just standing around for the next 3 minutes after they have introduced each club. But I was going to say, Coach Miller sounds like he's in great spirits despite two losses last weekend. And how could he not be when he's sitting alongside the Vin Man?
There you go.
Have that effect.
There you go. And you know what? I think it was, the one thing he said kind of resonated with me. You feel like you're disappointing your fans, you know, and it's that self-imposed pressure that they're just kind of, you can tell that they're just a little bunched up right now.
Travis Pinnock on the left side of the Penny split tee, tipping against 6'8 Cam Lewis. There's the toss and the tip. It is taken by Yale, operating the offense from left to right. Rocky Palestra will give you the respective starting fives in just a second. Andrews with the ball for the Bulldogs on the near right baseline. Pinnock coming in under the arc near right, and rattles home for the Deuce. Yale 2-0. 20 seconds in. Chris Andrews runs the point for the Bulldogs. Alex Vampire is the two guard. In the front court, Travis Pinnock and Ross Moran. In the five spot for the Bulldogs, it is Garrett Sibler. And the home whites with the ball from right to left. Kevin Eagle controlling. Top guard Tyler Bernardini gives his squad the lead with a three-pointer at the top of the arc.
Block and pop that time by Bernardini. Sets Pinnock up on the screen and then just steps back. Looks like a little funny release. I think almost a little flat or too much palm on it, but it bottoms out, or bottoms down, I should say. A big bucket early.
Brim top the arc, pump faking at the near right 20 as Chris Andrews, who stops at the foul line. Near right baseline is Marin, who makes another 16-foot jump shot. He has four, and that already exceeds his total of two the previous meeting of the squad. For the Quakers, it's Lewis, Eggleston, Iggy, Bernardini, and Rosen, the first five on the floor. 4-3, Yale with a one-point edge. A minute and 15 gone by in the first. Eggleston top of the arc, far sideline right on the wing with 13 on the shot clock to Iggy. Top of the arc, Bernardini buries it from beyond again. Another three, and the Quakers up by 2-6-4.
So important for Tyler to get off to a quick start. We commented throughout the year, it's almost oversimplification and not wanting to put it all on one guy, but and a much better team when Tyler Bernardini is shooting it well.
Cam Lewis called for the crime, reaching in on Garrett Sibler. So that will be the first team foul of this game. And for Cam, his first personal.
Well, emotional there.
Fighting a cold, good man.
If you get me sick, I will beat you with it after your life.
Chris Andrews far left baseline to Zampier, who tight ropes it. And he's called for the offensive foul. So each team with a foul so far.
Well, hook action right there. Jeff Nichols, the baseline official. And I guess Jeff had a better look at it than we did. It didn't look like there was much anything there, but you take that one.
Tyler Bernardini, he has accounted for all of Penn's offense so far. The pair from the perimeter, the Quakers up by 2-6-4. With 18-10 to go in the first, Tyler Bernardini held below double digits in both games last weekend. At the near left point, Iggy cruising into the key. Left side, Lewis reversing right off the back of the box, no good. Eggleston fighting for the offensive rebound, but it was stripped by Chris Andrews for Yale.
Get everything but the bucket right there. Kevin Iggy gets into the lane, draws two defenders. Cam goes to the reverse. Eye off the glass, looks like it's going. No luck.
Sam Pierce can't get the jumper at the top of the arc to drop and pulling down the rebound. Tyler Bernardini, a cutting Eggleston to the pin, around room and through for two.
Great.
Quakers doubling Yale's total, 8-4.
Great pass by Zach Rosen, getting the ball end to end and threading the needle to find the big man. Big man gets out and runs, get him the rock.
Zach Rosen leading the Ivy League with 5.2 assists per game. He had 8 the previous contest against the Crimson of Harvard on the right block. On the right block, Sibler fighting inside, and the ball knocked out of bounds off a deflected shot by Cam Lewis.
How many tentacles do you get something?
Just one in there.
Well, apparently not if you're Garrett Sibler. He has three on that last move.
So Chris Andrews will inbound for Yale on the far left baseline. The Quakers with the lead at 8-4, 17-18 to go in the first. The right-handed runner bounces out for Zampier along the far left baseline. Tracking down the loose ball is Moreno Fresh 35 for Yale. Pinnock, far left baseline, kicking it top of the arc to Andrews. The ball bounced up and hit him in the chin, man.
Hit him in the grill.
Andrews, the point guard, top of the arc to Fiddler, who tries to feed it on the left low post to Marin. The pass too high over his head, an unforced error by the Bulldogs. Now back to Penn.
C-P-A-L, Celtics. Fiddler. Can't play a lick.
That's an awful post feed right there. Fiddler averaging a respectable 6.3 and 4 rebounds per contest. Your sideline left. Iggy, a line drive three, throws it in the 10. The Quakers have 3 3-pointers and are up on the L by 7. 11-4 to score with 3.5 gone by in the first.
And Kevin Iggy picking up where he left off on Saturday night, shooting the ball well. And Penn needs that second option from the perimeter.
Dampier stripped by Rosen at the foul line. 2-on-1 for the Quakes. Rosen attacks the rack and delivers the deuce on the left side. And James Jones takes a timeout as the Quakers start strong at 13-4 with 16-16 to go in the opening stanza.
This is the classic late season Yale. We're about to play a game that could keep us in contention for the title and they don't show up. Whatever you do, Chelsea, don't interview him about it after the game. Two years ago, he gave you the turn that off tape.
He did.
After he got throttled by his brother up in Morningside Heights with a chance to come in and play 10-4 first place. I guess they just can't stand their own prosperity.
Yale, under James Jones, Vince, this is his 10th season. He's the longest tenured Ivy League coach at one single program. He and Glenn Miller, the Red and Blues mentor, have both been in the league the same amount of time. But he's 75-61 as James Jones in instant action. But it always seems like it's up and down, never a string of consistency for Yale.
And I'm not sure why that is, Delta, because I think his teams generally, play hard. But I don't know what it is. Maybe they get a little bunched up as the pressure starts to mount.
Andrews above the arc in the middle of the floor for the Bulldogs. Penn with a 13-4 lead. Left side of the lane, Marin. Marin with all four of the Bulldogs' points. And marking the rim for the jam is Paul Nelson on the right low post. Good look. It's 13-6. Penn now by 7.
Double team of Marin in the post, and he passes it very well.
Rosen short on the 3, off the iron in the hands of Chris Andrews, who has a streaking pinnock at the foul line. Nearly had his time to pick by Bernardini. Nelson kicked out to Andrews near right, unable to hit the 3. And with the carom for the Quakers, it's Zach Rosen. Rosen glides back the other way for Penn. Iggy near sideline left. Thought about the 3, but passed it up. Rosen goes to Lewis, top of the key.
Nelson did just come out and take the ball away from him.
The other way, Nelson hacks hard and roots through the rack. The bucket will not go, but 2 shots coming for Paul Nelson and the Bulldogs.
Cam Lewis had the ball out in front of him, and Nelson just reached out and took it away from him. Actually, he looked like a poachie because he knocked it away so cleanly.
15-18 to go in the first. Timeout on the floor to score. 10 on top of Yale, 13-6. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn basketball fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner Cheesesteak, the neighborhood tradition. Located at 38th and Chestnut Street, Abner provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. And remember, when the Quakers score 100 points in a home win, use your ticket stop from the game to redeem a free cheesesteak. For more information, visit their website at www.abnercheesesteak.com. Abner Cheesesteak, the proud sponsor of Penn Basketball.
Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles like commemorative replicas fans of Franklin Field and the cholesterol. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com. Team 18 to go in period number 1 at the Palestra alongside Vince Curran, Brian Seltzer on the campus of the Quakers. The red and blue up on the Yale Bulldogs. 13-6 is the score, and Vince, remarkable things happen when you make your shot.
Sometimes it's just that simple, Seltzer. Penn 5-for-7 to start, including 3-for-4 from 3-point range. And one of the comments you have is that the perimeter offense hasn't really been there for Penn throughout the year consistently. And obviously, Tyler Bernardini is supposed to be your main guy. He struggles shooting the ball, but you also need second and third options out there, and Penn hasn't been able to find that, obviously, early tonight.
two for Tyler from the perimeter and one for Kevin Iggy, so a good start.
Nelson at the line, well short on his first free throw attempt. So the score means 13-6 in favor of Penn, seeking to scratch out their first conference home victory of this 2009 H&H plate. Nelson can't hit the second one either, but the rebound was knocked out of the hands of Jack Eggleston by Michael Sandoval. So the Red and Blue will regain possession with 15-14 to go in the first, leading 13-6.
Penn got off to a decent start against Yale, up at Yale, and then Yale turned it into a slugfest, and then Penn really struggled with that for stretches of time. I think Yale does the same thing again tonight.
Michael Sands is a big part of that. Eggleston in the near left corner rolling the left block to Cam. The finger roll falls for Cam Lewis, who has scored at least 6 points in his previous six contests. Those are his first two tonight.
Screen and dive to the cup by Cam Lewis, and he gets Porter Braswell, who is generously listed at 6 feet, and just takes his time. Knows Braswell's not going to block it and deposits the layup.
Breakers with the lead at 15-6, 14:35 to go in the first. Braswell, top of the arc, hits from the perimeter, his 15th three-pointer of the season. And that cuts the Quakers' lead down to 6, 15-9.
Looks like Zach Rosen got caught going too behind on that screen, meaning the screener and his teammate, Zach, way too far, not able to close out.
Rosen near left, can't knock down the three. That was his second attempt from the outside. Tapped out of bounds off the fingertips of Cam Lewis on the far right baseline. So the Bulldogs will get it back.
And that will be on Zach Rosen's wish list this summer, or workout list, I probably should say. Improve the consistency from the perimeter. He really needs to add that to his game, because that shot's going to present itself a fair amount, especially with his ability to penetrate. People will play off him, so he needs to make teams pay when they decide to play that way.
Braswell, top of the arc to Nelson, deep in the middle of the floor. Michael Sands, who had a career-high 10 points against Penn the previous meeting, back on the 14th of February. At the top of the arc, Jordan Gibson swinging it at the far left point to Travis Pinnock. Shot clock at 12 for the Bulldogs. Penn leading 15-9, 13:45 to go in the first. Braswell deep in the middle of the floor, well wide to the right on the three, and with the pull on the post, Jack Eggleston. Top guard Harrison Gaines nearly lost it to a blasting Bernardini far right baseline. Connor Tilley far right point. Back to Tyler, who pulls the trigger. No triple. Offensive rebound, Jack Eggleston. Gaines off the bench in this contest. He had started the last three for the Red and Blue. Top of the arc, Jack Eggleston. Eggleston, right side of the ring to Turley. In the near left corner, Gaines gets it to go from the outside. Penn relying on their perimeter offense. They have 4 3-pointers and lead it 18-9 with 13:02 to go in the first.
And Harrison Gaines, a guy that has to get going early. Otherwise, you know, sometimes he gets lost out there. When he starts quickly, he usually is in for a good night. Good sign if you're a Penn fan seeing him knock down that arrow jumper.
Stands above the arc in the middle. A nice lob down low to Nelson, who missed the wide-open layup. Loose ball in the near right corner. Tracked down by Gibson for the Bulldogs. Pounded there by Tyler Bernardini, who's going to be flagged for the foul. That is the 13th foul against Penn.
How about Nelson? He's every bit of 6'10". And looks like he's in pretty good shape. Jumps well, long arms. And comes up a foot short on an 18-inch shot with nobody on him. That's, I mean, tough to do.
18-9, Quakers in control with 4:40 to go in the first. Bulldogs with the ball in their road navy blues. Yale spelled out white across the front. White numbers on the front and the back. Braswell to near right point. Shot clock at 25 for the Bulldogs. Gibson far sideline left on the wing. Iggy waving hands in his face as Gibson gets the screen. Now goes to Nelson, twists inside. He doesn't miss the deuce that time.
Very good footwork. He screens and opens to the ball, gets his head around quickly, and nimbly deposits the 2 points.
18-11 a score in favor of Penn. Rob Belcourt behind the basketball, checking into this contest for the Quakes. Turley looking for a cutting Belcourt backdoor for two. 20-11, 10-9. Good offensive execution so far,
oh, man. On our way to 100 Celsius.
Cheesesteak, baby. Cheesesteak. I can eat tonight. Near sideline right on the wing. Pinnock takes a walk, but they're going to call Penn for the foul.
And Pinnock's really a guy that you don't need to get up on and guard. He back off it. All he wants to do is drive.
And that time he drives in a little haphazardly, but they get the foul call on Rob Belcour. Fourth team foul for Panawan against the Bulldogs so far. 11:44 to go in the first timeout on the score, though. Time up on the floor, each score I should say. 10:20, Yale 11, you're listening to Quaker Basketball, 9:50 ESPN. This is the Pam Sports Center.
An AT&T phone survivor story. Mark and Dave were on their annual winter camping trip when...
Ooh, a snake! I know how to pick him up. You just grab him behind the head.
Dave.
Oh, get up!
Mark was doomed.
I want to stay red against yellow, your dead fellow.
I'm going towards the light. Grandma, is that you?
He's crying? Luckily, Dave went to the AT&T phone sale and got a great deal on a phone that takes pictures, sends email, and accesses the internet.
Dude, it says on my new phone, it's not poisonous.
Oh, thanks to AT&T, Mark survived the annual winter camping trip.
Dude, you're crying.
His dignity did not.
Don't kill the game, okay?
Pathetic.
Shut up.
What will an AT&T phone help you survive?
Come in now and get the LG sign for just $9.99 after mail-in rebate. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Pay $59.99 for your phone and after mail-in rebate, receive a $50 AT&T promotion card to your wireless service. Required certain geographic other monthly charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
Betsy Devins back at the board at 9:50 ESPN alongside Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer, Pam on top of the L 22-11 with 11:44 to go in the first. And Vince, the last three contests for the Quakes, they have been just 58 of 165 from the field for a ripe, I think the percentage of 35.2 overall, but it's stinky. They seem to be en route to changing that trend tonight. At least early.
Yes, they are, Brian. 8 to 12 early, which is not stinky.
The technical term for it?
Yeah.
We like to use big words that reflect our Ivy League education.
Oh, different. I like that one.
Off the inbounds, we're in double teamed and lost the ball on the right block. It goes free to game.
And Yale, a team that really struggles to score.
Underneath, Iggy gets two from Gaines. 22-11, Penn doubling Yale's total with 11:27 to go in the opening half.
And Glenn Miller said, watch out for Kevin Iggy. He thinks he's going to have a big game tonight. And early 5 points and playing with little enthusiasm.
At the near right point for the Bulldogs, it's Jordan Gibson. He feeds it to Nelson, parallel to the near right baseline. Near five line right on wing, Porter Braswell at the right high post, Marin. Far side on left feed for Gibson as he backs up a long two, 22-13. 10 in front by 8, 11 to go in the first. Gibson averages 4 per contest off the bench for the Bulldogs as the Quakers lost track of the ball on the left low post.
Connor Curley dribbles at Kevin Iggy, who goes back door, and it is just a bad pass. Led him by a couple feet too many, and ball goes back in the other direction.
The old Bulldogs with the rock from left to right in the front court. Chris Andrews back at the point. Gibson in the near right corner, blanketed by Rob Belcour of Penn. 19 on the shot clock for the Bulldogs. The right-handed runner is no good by Gibson, but failing in an attempt for the rebound is Thomas Curley of Penn. That is the sixth team foul against the Red Bulls.
There's a Fiddler on the line who crashes the board, going for the stick back. And Glenn Miller saying, how could you say when he was shooting there? But I think Jeff Nichols is saying he was trying to control the ball and get it back up there. I think it's probably a pretty good call. He should be shooting.
And the first free throw falls for Garrett Fiddler out of Colorado Springs, averaging 6.3 points and 4 rebounds per game. Except that there are 5 team fouls against Penn. Fiddler has made it 22-14 and now 22-15 in favor of Penn, with 10:33 remaining in the opening half. The Quakers jumped out to an early lead that they've managed to maintain.
And Yale came out that time in a 2-2-1 press, now dropped back into a 2-3 zone. Tyler Bernardini not out there, so Penn's perimeter threat's not there. See how Penn breaks this zone defense.
Kick out top of the arc to Harrison Gaines. Back to Belcour. Far sideline right. Throws a double team. Far right baseline. Votel. Philly right side of the lane. Shot clock at 5. Top of the arc. Gaines driving left side of the paint. Lost the ball. Recovers. And he gets the foul. And the finish. Stopping the shot clock at 1. But the conversion counts. for Harrison Gaines, who's made it 24-15, 10 up by 9, a chance to reestablish a double-digit edge with 10 to go in the first.
And James Jones gets pretty much what he wants right there. Penn did a good job of running zone offense, attacking the gaps, attacking the baseline, but Yale kind of counter every time Penn made something, made a move offensively, they were there defensively, and then at the end, it breaks down, broken play, Harrison Gaines, it's a little too quick, a little too strong.
Gaines unable to hit that free throw. Underneath on the left block, we're in twisting inside. It rattles off the rim, no good. Rebound to Brennan Votel. Gaines, setting the tempo back the other way, and he hits from the left high post, 15 feet out, to make it 26-15 with 9:33 to go in the first.
And we talk about it all the time. Harrison Gaines, a guy that when he gets it going early, look for him to have a big night, and right there, in transition.
He deflects the pass, and it goes into the backcourt, which was off the elbow of Gaines. Andrews was able to retrieve it without penalty, and away from the play, a foul whistled against the Quakers.
I'm going to remind Andrews that he's like 5'5". He's trying to throw hook passes over defenders. It's like, my man,
he should do a little better than that. Brennan Votel with a very nice hearing section on hand here tonight. The manhandling from Park Hills, Kentucky. They have made the road stretch for the final home weekend in Brennan's career. 6-15 foul against the Quakers. Marin at near right baseline. Can't drain the Duke. Rebound tap to the aforementioned Votel. Iggy at the foul line. Near sideline left on the wing. The right-handed runner by Gaines is good on the near left baseline. So Harrison Gaines has got it going on early. He has knocked down 9. And Penn with their largest lead at 13, 28-15. 8:54 to go in the first. Far sideline left. Pinnock in the alley. Pinnock beating Fiddler on the left block, looking inside, lost the ball. He retrieves it and is retrieved by Lewis. Bernardini secures it for Penn. Transition working for the red and blue. Gaines goes to the baseline and draws the foul as he headed hoopward.
Harrison Gaines looked a little shooterish tonight, sir.
Indeed, the man.
He got that first one to go, and since then, every time he's got it in his hand, he has been looking to score and doing a very good job of it.
On the far right baseline, Rosen inbounds. It hits off the shoelaces of Votel. So the Quakers cough it up. Back to the Bulldogs. The 10 with a healthy 28-15 advantage with 8:33 remaining in the first half. The Yale Bulldogs averaging just 62.4 points per game. But they put 72 up on Cornell in a win last Friday. That tightened up this 8-8 race, but the defending champs are still in the right spot. Top yard Jampier notches a three-pointer. There's a 28-18 with 8:12 to go in the opening half.
Gaines a little late getting over that screen, and Jampier rock and pop right behind the screen and knocks that out.
Jampier 16 points in the previous game against Columbia last Saturday. 10 with the ball from right to left. At the right high post, Lewis looking to duck inside. Nothing there. A weak pass is nearly picked off. Rosen retrieves it in the near left corner.
Penn had Votel on Braswell on the low post, didn't recognize. Now they're scrambling.
Rosen trying to create 6-2. Bernardini in the near left corner, but a walk against Zach Rosen.
Good call. No doubt about it.
7:43 to play in the first half. Timeout on the floor to score. Penn leading Yale 28-18. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Penn Basketball fans. PECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy, it's committed to the community. PECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quakerhood fans of all ages. And PECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of PECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on PECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.pico.com.
Tell me, what do you love about Keto Mexican Grill?
I love the taco salad.
It's fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
5 sauces.
Oh, yeah. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can get here for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and
that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. All made fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
All right, 7:43 to go in the first.
too. The Quakes got off on the good foot tonight, didn't they?
Shooting the ball very well. Selke now 12 for 16 from the floor. That's just obviously a phenomenal percentage. And Harrison Gaines getting it done early. 4 for 4 from the floor. 1 for 1 from 3 for 9 points. Harrison only tallied 4 last Saturday against Harvard. 1 of 7 from the field was he in that contest. So Harrison Gaines feeling it early on, and not only Vince is Penn doing a good job from beyond the border, of course, 7-for-3, but they're getting great looks, high percentage shots as well on crisp offensive execution.
Dynamite, Selke, dynamite analysis. Crisp offensive execution. Well, you started the game with the late 10 minutes because Yale showed up 15 minutes before the game. They probably should have delayed it another hour because Yale still hasn't shown up.
And it plows into the paint and produces a pair off the glass to make it 28-20. Penn back the other way. From right to left. Rosen and Tyler Burnett even jawing at the officials. He comes back up the floor, felt he has drawn the charge as the ball's knocked out of bounds off Yale.
And he's going over there to lobby to shut up.
That's not what you should be doing.
Right.
That's bad concentration. Focus on the elements you can control.
Somebody else's job is to lobby with the officials.
Bernardini can't hit the three off the inbound from the near left wing. Rebound retrieved by Yale. 28-20 and a whistle called against the Quakers. That will be their 7th team foul. And that will create a 1-and-1 opportunity upcoming for the Bulldogs. That is the second personal for Cam Lewis.
And Yale doing a good job of being aggressive, taking the ball to the basket, drawing fouls, and a little more perimeter-oriented early in this game. So only 3 fouls on Yale. You can see how Yale does with the line of team that doesn't shoot it particularly well from the free throw line.
Ross Morin is there, shooting at 62% from the stripe, and the front end is,
of course, nothing but
right.
I'm 66% on the year for Yale as a team. I tried to throw a little something out there. I just felt it didn't work.
28-21 now the score with 7:10 to go in the first. 10 in front. Yale at the line. Morin is there, trying to go perfect on the trip. And that one rattles around the rim and out with the Karen, Cam Lewis. Morin with 5 to lead the Bulldogs. Remains 28-21. A little offensive wall for Penn, but they jumped out early and have retained their lead. Lewis in the paint, and a shot is waved off, but Cam was fouled. Ross Morin was pleased with that decision by the officiating crew.
Good strong post-up, though, by Cam Lewis, and a very good post feed by Jack Eggleston. Penn facing very good right there. Cam Lewis had plenty of room to operate. Didn't have to worry about guards running at him, trying to double. And he was able to get the foul call.
Off the inbounds, Bernardini barges towards the bucket and delivers 2.
Great cut by Bernardini off the screen and then just wills it in, kind of takes it right up through the chin. Who got him on that? Is it Braswell who got him on the switch there, Selke?
Yep. On the far left, baseline tennis runner will drop and fouled on the way down, Jack Eggleston, by Travis Pinnock of Yale. The score is 30-21-10. It's 6:37 to play in the first half. 15 foul assessed against Yale. On the floor for the red and blue. Harrison Gaines will go out. Rob Belcourt checking in. He joins Tyler Bernardini, Cam Lewis.
Gaines gets a nice hand as he comes off. Well deserved. 9 points.
Rosen brings the ball up the floor, crossing the timeline far right on the wing. Zach Rosen at the far right point, away from the play. Tyler Bernardini hits the hardwood with some force. Rosen off the screen far left, passes up the perimeter shot. Tyler, top of the arc, driving out of control right side lane, gathers back the loose ball, pinned on the far right baseline, ducking inside, and he's forced into the walk by Jordan Gibson, whose right foot he stepped on.
Tyler Bernardini close to getting teed up, going at referee Jeff Nichols again with some choice words. Tyler a little frustrated after he got bumped pretty hard at the beginning of that play. He was kind of in his head the whole time for the rest of that offensive set.
6 minutes to go in the first. 10 up to 30-21. Bulldogs with the ball. Zampier can't knock down the far left wing jumper. Offensive rebound, Nelson. All by his lonesome on the right block. Passes up to Braswell in the lane. Gibson cuts inside and gets the rattle to roll home.
30-23. Penn's lead down to 7 with 5:42 on the first. Gibson, a nice effort off the bench with 4 points. That's already above his per-game average. And Tyler Bernardini just communicating with Jack Eggleston. He simply throws it away along the far right wing.
There's one, and I think Jack faked him out a little bit right there. Tyler thought he was popping. Jack dove to the back door. And those two yipping at one another a little bit as they come back up the floor.
5:25 to play in the first. The Elks trying to carve into the Quakers' 7-point lead at 32-23. Zampier, near right point, top of the arc to Porter Braswell, shot clock at 15. Zampier slithers towards the pin, throws it up no, but the follow on his own miss counts. It's 30-25, 5:03 to go in the first half.
And Yale getting a little physical out there right now, and that is playing to their advantage. Very similar to the way the game played out up in New Haven. Penn got out a little bit early. Yale thugged it up a little bit. Penn now needs to react.
The motion offense, and it's not a whole heck of a lot of it right now for Penn, but Jack Eggleston draws the foul on Gibson for the Bulldogs. That will be the 6th team foul against the Bulldogs, and the first against Jordan Gibson. 4:45 to go in the first. Timeout on the floor. The score, 10:30, Yale 25. You're listening to Quaker Basketball.
No timeout. Don't time it away.
We're still here to live action. It's got to be the heat inside the big house.
Oh, come on. Man, it is.
Rosen, far right there, find inbounding to Eggleston, who is harmed on his way to the hoop. So that is the 7th team foul.
Man, Penn is really good at the baseline out-of-bounds play. They said very good screen, and Jack Eggleston rolls off that back screen right there and is wide open, and Gibson gets there late and hammers away. Now, your man Jack going to have 2 free throws, Selke.
Jack with 2 points so far. The southpaw sophomore adds to his total. He makes it 31-25. Jack Eggleston, a nice stretch as of late. He's been in double digits in 4 of his last 5 outings. He had 14 against Harvard 6 days ago. The second for Jack is good as well. So he has 4, and Penn's lead is back up to 7 at 32-25 with 4:40 to go in the first. Top of the arc, Andrews has Marin. Marin covered by Eggleston. Top of the key, Andrews again looking to set up the O for the Bulldogs. Marin takes the pass, left side lane, short, knocked out by Fiddler, back to Marin, fighting on the left block, knuckles inside, gets fouled, no bucket, Ross Marin will go to the line.
There's just not a lot of skill offensively on the Yale side of the ball. I mean, you don't, it's not a lot of movement, it is, we're not going to go around you, we're going to go through you. You know, they're the Pittsburgh Steelers of college basketball. They're going to just line up and plow straight ahead and come right at you.
Ross Marin has misfired on both of his free throw attempts in this game. Here is his 5th of the night, and that is no good. Pardon me. This is his 3rd of the night, and that one does not drop.
I think of Marin's tat, though, that we got to look at. He's got it right
there.
Yeah. The uni, full skull and crossbones.
Wearing the double zero as well, good man.
So what we do, if you got the double here, you can get the tack, but it can't be anything that anybody can see unless you want them to see it.
Marin now 0-4 from the foul line. Spinning off the Bulldogs for the rebound was Rob Belcourt. So the score remains 32-25. Justin Riley checking in a reserve role. He's at the top of the arc, goes far right point to Zach Rosen. Belcourt to the foul line, tosses back to Zach, far right wing. He stops the right hot post, top of the arc Riley. Nice look to Cam, an easy 2 points for Lewis, and he now has 4.
Good recognition again. Chris Andrews at 5'9". Yeah, at 5'9", gets caught on Cam Lewis, and the face recognized, get him the ball.
Top of the arc, Marin drills it from deep. He has 7 points, and the Bulldogs have brought their deficit down to 6 points. Panic in the lead, 34-28, 3:35 to go in the first half. Goes on top of the arc and away from the play, a holding call going against the Bulldogs and Garrett Fiddler.
And it's going to put Cam Lewis on the line for a 1-1. After this break, Celtics.
Now we're going. Now we're going to a little breather. 3:31 to go in the first. Timeout on the floor. The score, Penn leading Yale 34-28. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And basketball fans, real fans, watch Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates on all your pro and college teams, including comprehensive coverage of the Quakers. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet, nobody does Philly sports better.
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you crave, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides it, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. There's also the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn passing best. Register online at PennAthletics.com.
One to go in the first half at the Palestra alongside Vince Kern, Brian Stelter, as the new man gives a little shake for some P-Funk.
Yep, you're feeling it tonight, Stelter. Never seen a big man move like this.
34-28, 10-6 over the visiting Yale Bulldogs. The Quakers continue to shoot very, very well from the floor, Vince. At 14 of 19.
And that, if you're 10, you go, wow, we're really shooting well. If you're Yale, we say, well, they're 14 for 19, and they're only doing it by 6. So 10, when you shoot it that well, you'd like to have a little more distance, but 7 turnovers in the first half with 3:30 to go is too many. When 10 does get shots in the air, they're usually going in, Celtic.
The Quakers can advantage of 16-8 in terms of points in the paint. As you mentioned, Vince, 7 turnovers in the first half already for Penn. The Bulldogs have translated that into 11 points.
Otherwise, this game is, as Dr. J used to say in that Geno commercial, a blowout.
Cam Lewis at the line. He's trying to atone for his 2-for-8 performance on...
ESPN.com and sign up to be a 950 ESPN MVP club member.
Tim Lewis is at the line again, but it's his second trip. He got the first one to go and his second. He missed the back end of the first trip line where we lost to, but between now and then, Tim, he has hit 2 free throws just right there. Travis Pinnock with a 2-point deposit for the Bulldogs, and that makes it 37-30 in favor of Penn with 2:57 to go in the first. So Cam Lewis, Vince, 3 of 4 from the foul line tonight after going 2 of 8 from the line against the Crimson Saturday, away from the play, a crime committed by the Quakers. That is their 8th team foul. Make that is their 9th team foul. That goes against Justin Riley, his first. And that will put Moran at the line.
Moran has been absolutely frightening at the free throw line tonight, 0 for 4, and hasn't been close on any of them. So, of course, Delphi, I just said that. And he'll drop both right here.
We'll see. as the right-handed senior gets ready, crashes, releases, and as you accurately predicted, the man.
Keep my mouth shut.
He got it. That makes it 37-31, 10 by 6, with 2:49 to go in the first. Moran getting ready for his second. Shooting into the red and blue crew, and he connects on number two. 37-32, this has tightened up. Penn's lead at 5, a full court press by the Bulldogs.
1-2-2, and they're trapping out of it, so looking to create some turnovers.
Nice break by the Quakers, led by Kevin Iggy and Justin Riley. Iggy kick out top yard Botel, far right point to Harrison Gaines. Gaines to Riley, far right wing, nice push to Botel in the right block. He draws a double team, kick out to Riley in the far right corner. He drives under the arc far right. Near sideline left of the wing, Kevin Iggy, stock on at 8. He pulls up, can't hit from the perimeter as he hits the deck. With the rebound for the Bulldogs, it is Porter Braswell.
Yes, Braswell.
On the right block, Moran making his way inside, reversing over the shoulder right to left for the two. 37-34, it's a one-possession game. Penn's lead now down to 37-34 with 2:09 to go in the first.
And Glenn Miller has seen enough and called some timeout. And as we talked about, when Penn was shooting it as well as they were early, Yale had to be somewhat encouraged because you know that kind of shooting isn't going to continue for an entire game. Yale kept it close and now making another little run. Penn, again, turning the ball over a little bit too much. And that last one by Kevin Iggy that he misses led to a long rebound and a, well, not a fast break opportunity, a quick, fast opportunity.
The Penn Quakers have not lost to Yale at the Palestra since 1997. Although Yale did win here in this building in an Ivy League playoff back in 2002, topping the Tigers of Princeton. Penn with the ball from right to left. A tenuous 3 points is their lead at 37-34. 2 minutes to go in the first. Top of the arc, Botel. Far side, line right on the wing to Gaines. Tossing to Riley above the arc in the middle of the floor. Bernardini deep on the near left perimeter. Left side of the lane, Riley. Far right, Gaines for three. Off iron, no. Long rebound is retrieved by Moran. Ahead of the pack to Braswell, who backs off a penetration of the paint and sets up the offense for the Bulldogs, who could tie or come within one on this possession.
Good inside-out offense that time by Penn. Harrison Gaines, a little challenge on the jumper, but it's a good shot. He's just not able to knock it down.
Braswell's top yard rumbles inside. He shoves to the floor, and Kevin Iggy will be called for the foul.
Just got the your man, James Jones.
Yes.
Gave a little wave to me. How you doing, baby? All right. And gave him a thumbs up. It's all good.
James and I have no problem.
You're the one that is the thorn in his side, the burr in his saddle, the bee in his bonnet.
Right.
Yeah.
Porter Braswell at the line. On the season, he's a 76.9% free throw shooter. Bring the elephant two. In and out. No good. 37-34. The score remains with a minute 27.
Good ball. Second. He just came in. Wave. I'm in. Everybody, on you. I love the fact that guys still come and check in through us like we know what we're doing.
Let's look official. Braswell can't hit his second, and Stein that snaps the rebound, Brendan Botel. Iggy quickly back the other way for the Quakers, who catch a break and are still up by three with 75 seconds to go in the first. Far right point, Riley. Left side lane, Botel looking underneath for Gaines, but he pulls up, can't hit the pair, and with the pull, it's pinning for the Bulldogs. Travis Pinnock to Zam Pierce. And Pierce zigging, zagging in the lane. Braswell near right. Can't tie it up for the three. Tap out by Nelson to Iggy of the Quakers. Iggy to Bernardini as the Quakers' offense has been stagnant somewhat the past couple minutes. Gaines off the handoff from Botel, top of the arc. Bernardini near sideline left on the perimeter. 40 seconds to go in the first. 10-37-34. Gaines. We're going to cross over Pinnock. Top of the arc, Riley. Far right on the wing. To Iggy in the far right corner. 10 seconds on the shot.
And another switch. Brennan Botel has Braswell on him. Penn doesn't recognize.
Bernardini puts up an ugly air ball in desperation. There was nothing there for Penn. Bulldogs with the rock from left to right. Shot clock turned off. 16 seconds to go in the first.
And Penn. James Jones calling for one shot. That's the right play. Yeah, it looks like they might be going a little early.
Nelson top of the arc. 7 seconds to go in the first. Pinnis ducks inside, delivers to Dusick. 3 seconds to go in the first. 37-36 Pinnis. Harrison Gaines holds on as the horn sounds, ending the first half. The Quakers will take a tenuous 1-point lead into the locker room. 37-36
And then assistant coach Mike Martin has really given it to Tyler Bernardini as he comes off the floor. I think about the defensive effort right there, trailing Pinnis and then getting posted up too deep and letting him get the easy two at the end of the half. So for all that went right for Penn there, they only have a 1-point lead going into halftime.
But Vin Man, yes, we have been able to understand and detect and monitor throughout the season, the first half for the Quakers, provided they go into the break with the advantage, they have not lost a game. So the Red and Blue hoping that trend continues the season. They are 7-0 on the season when taking the lead into the locker room.
You were looking at me to follow up on that one? I thought that was your complete thought.
It was a complete thought, but I was just trying to see if you have anything to add.
Well, I don't see the governor coming over here for a halftime interview, but I do see Bob Cooney getting ready to don the headset with us.
Yeah, we might be able to bring him on.
Well, you covered the Temple LaSalle game last night?
And you said your interview with Derek Smith had a technical difficulty. So
yes.
I'm sitting here trying to get stuff lined up.
We'll figure it out.
At the break, 37-36-10 on top of visiting Yale. The United Healthcare halftime report starts on the other side. Vince Kern and I will go around the 8-8 on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard and also break down the first half. That's all coming your way. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
Welcome to Fast Skating. When you hear this, move to the next station.
Hi.
Hi.
Whoa, what the heck are you doing?
I brought my own buzzer. I like to maximize my dating results.
Searching for true love? You're going to love Chili's new crisper creation.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Try Chili's new chicken crispers, starting at just $7.99, like our new buffalo chicken crisper bite with apple, grilled bacon, and roast beef dressing. And try our new crispy chicken taco, topped with ranch and chipotle sauce. New chicken crispers, starting at just $7.99. Chili's, pepper and some new flavor.
Pepper and what? Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Here's your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite team with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Mike in the morning. Special Mac in the midday. And Mike Vincinelli in the afternoon. 950 ESPN. WPEN Philadelphia.
It's the Quaker Halftime Report presented by United Healthcare. With audio highlights from the first 20 minutes, feature interviews, and a full stat recap, once again with Vince Curran, here's Brian Seltzer.
Intermission empty for us for the Penn Quakers with a very slim and unsettling 1-point lead on the visiting Yale Bulldogs. 37-36 is your score as the United Healthcare Halftime Report proceeds here on 950 ESPN. We'll go around the 8-8 on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard, brought to you in part by Abner's Keepsakes of University City, located on the corner of 38th and Tesla Street. We will start in Cambridge, Massachusetts, where the Columbia Lions look to maintain their second-place spot in the Ivy League standings. And they are down at the break, 29-27 to Harvard, coming off their third Ivy League victory of this campaign last Saturday right here at Penn. The Crimson are up 29-27 against the Lions.
And man, that has to be a frightening one to watch right there. 56 combined points in the first half. Harvard, obviously, nothing to play for. And Columbia, slim hopes trying to keep them alive. But as I have often said, Chelsea, I'd rather be here than there. There are some thinkers out there.
Harvard and Columbia, 29-27 at the half. Crimson with the lead. At Princeton, the same score, but they have started the second half in there. So they're already trailing in terms of, Brown just scored to go up 31-27 over the Tigers with 2 minutes and 42 seconds gone by in the second stanza. The Princeton Tigers at 5-4 in league play. Brown entering at 1-9.
And the Tigers trying to keep their faint Ivy League title hopes alive. And just, you can't throw out a stinker like that. You still got something to play for. Brown, a team that is incredibly challenged offensively, but apparently a little bit more challenged on this evening as they are playing at Chadwin.
Wait a minute. The halftime, they're doing the robot out there on the halftime show.
Like the Bell show with the random guys showing up there kicking the robot.
This is phenomenal.
And the last score we have to give to you. It's in Hanover, and the Dartmouth Big Green are being held off so far by the defending champion Cornell Big Red, 37-29, 17-51 to go in that one. So,
but that's just like a couple weeks ago. Cornell had a 19-point lead with 15 minutes to go and watched Alex Barnett fritter that one away on them. So, obviously an 8-point lead early. Not safe when you've got a player like Alex Barnett who can fill it up quickly and in bunches.
And talking just about teams that could try to tighten this race up in the Ivy League, Dartmouth certainly one of the three second-place squads entering this evening are at home trying to avenge that double overtime defeat at Cornell just 13 days ago. But they're down right now 37-29 with 17-51 to go in the second. So Harvard leading Columbia 29-27 at the half. Just underway in the second. It's Brown 32, Princeton 30. And in period number two, in Hanover, New Hampshire, the Cornell Big Red on top of the Big Green of Dartmouth, 37-29. And here at the Palestra at the half, the Quakers trying to hold off the old Bulldogs. They're up 37-36. On the other side, Bob Cooney of the Philadelphia Daily News joins us
to talk South Jersey high school basketball.
No, we're not. No, it's just we'll talk about a little Temple of Sal and the news of the day because Bob Cooney is a Daily News Live esteemed panelist. Brian Dawkins, it is not a done deal yet, but possibly signing with the Denver Broncos. Whoa, that'll up rides. 37-36, 10 leading Yale at the break. More to come on the United Healthcare Halftime Report here on 950 ESPN.
We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare. There's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. The consumer-driven health plan, CDHPM, costs less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like a LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
Fans, be sure to visit the official online store of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Get apparel for all of Penn's 33 varsity programs and Ivy League championship gear for men's basketball, men's golf, women's lacrosse, and men's and women's tennis. There's also gifts and collectibles for commemorative replicas fans of Franklin Field and the Palestra. Everything's delivered right to your home with the click of a button, so start shopping today at PennAthletics.com.
We're making our way through the United Healthcare halftime report alongside Vince Kern, Brian Seltzer, 37-36. The Quakers on top of the Yale Bulldogs at the break. Joining us now from the Philadelphia Daily News, Cooney. Bob Cooney, you can see him regularly on Daily News Live on Comcast SportsNet, or more importantly, check out his fine work tomorrow on Saturday's paper.
Oh, I'm sure you say more importantly at Westview's after every game.
Nice plug, man.
That constitutes hell of insurance.
I don't get anything from them.
Well, we'll talk about
someone Cooney, not some establishment.
We'll talk about this game in a second. We'll talk about the LaSalle Temple tilt bomb that you covered last night, but let's talk Brian Dawkins, the Philadelphia Eagles, maybe the 13-year run between those two ending by the end of this evening. But it is very important to note, as I try to put on the other hat here, there is nothing finalized yet between the Broncos and Brian Dawkins.
So let's talk about it anyway.
There's only one reporter out there who has said that they've even agreed to terms. Spoke with a Brian Dawkins source earlier today, and he seemed to give the vibe that Brian
He's interested in the Broncos. He's going out there to maybe see what Denver could put on the table. He just got that feel that maybe, just maybe, Denver were to make him an offer, he might call up Joe Banner and say, "Yo, Joe, what can we do here?"
It has been orchestrated by the Brian Dawkins camp to say, "Oh, yeah, he's agreed," and then all of a sudden he gets all this bad PR and fan backlash saying, okay, well, you haven't signed it yet? We got it.
That's what makes the Eagles look so bad, too, because here's a 35-year-old guy that's been here forever, and he's got to play this game. I mean, aren't they beyond that? I mean, if they want him to stay, they have a deal. If you don't want him, if you think he's too old, tell him, let him go.
Hold on. Who knows what the Eagles offered him? Who knows what Denver offered him?
Right.
So everybody is running off half cocked right now, saying, "Oh, they can't believe they did this to Westbrook. Can't believe they made him go through this." Or Westbrook, I meant Dawkins.
Okay.
"I can't believe they're making him go through this duel." Nobody knows anything at this point.
Right.
This is all speculation. But this is what we do know. We know that in your Philadelphia Daily News last week, Bob Cooney, the great Les Bowen had an article in which Joe Banner, the team president, was quoted as saying about the $37 million the Eagles have under the cap. You couldn't try.
That's right.
So when you put a quote like that out there, you cannot reconcile letting a guy who was going on record in Brian Dawkins, who said, "I'm not going to ask for the world. I want a respectable offer. I'm not going to ask for the world," and then maybe let him go through that.
Right. And this 2 years certainly isn't going to break any kind of bank, whether it's $37 million or whatever it is.
But who's to say that they haven't offered him something?
Right. No,
again,
you're right.
They did make him an offer. But and who's to say what it is and their value of it may be one thing. And we're getting ticked off at the Eagles because they let him get away and they can't spend all that money. It doesn't mean they should just throw that money away. If they think Brian Dawkins is worth $2 million a year and somebody's willing to offer him $5 million a year, then, hey, it's been great having you. Go ahead.
Yeah.
You know, more
I'm
power
not ticked off
you.
At the Eagles on that.
Yeah,
I'm pretty happy guy on
it. I've been listening to the station and the reactions to it throughout the day.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute.
Yeah, you got to wait to see what happens before you have the reaction, but there's not going to be a lot of happy people if they do let him go. I mean, that's just
and
even if his play has fallen off a little bit, it's almost just like a goodwill gesture to keep him around, let him retire here, let him finish off.
This is an 8-year-old boy's
I'm
daughter.
Not saying I agree with that.
Break out the orange slices and let him find the pizza after the game.
Come
on. Well, this is coming from the Wharton grad, right here.
I agree that they are coddled way too much. You're right. If it's a business move, if they decide that Brian Dawkins no longer can play safety for this team, goodbye.
Or can play it at $2 million, but they don't want it at $5 million.
Right, right.
Like, I understand he's been a great Eagle for a long period of time, and I'm a huge Brian Dawkins fan. I love him. I love watching him play. I love his attitude. But if you get to the point where the rubber's got to meet the road, someone's got to make a decision.
Yeah.
And, you know, everybody is going on saying, "Oh, I can't believe they're treating him like this. I can't believe they made him go through this." Dude, put your big boy pants on. You know? I mean,
the rubber meets the road. I like that.
Joined by Bob Cooney, the Philadelphia Daily News, covered the Temple LaSalle game last night.
Actually, Mike Kern covered it. I was there, though. I was in attendance. I didn't have Mike Kern's fault.
But the Explorers take down Temple at the Lee Accord Center,
yeah.
And that really alters the aspirations, well, maybe not the aspirations, but the potential goals of the Temple Owls.
Yeah. They're going to have to get to win all their games down, at least get to the Atlantic 10 Finals to have a shot at making it to the NCAAs now. And they have a tough game tomorrow at Dayton, and a lot of people don't win at Dayton. So the one thing that Dump kind of hung his hat on last night was, last year something similar like this happened, where they lost a game they shouldn't have lost down the stretch, and then they bounced back after that, and of course won the A-10 title. So,
you can't hang your hat on Atlantic City and beat Xavier and Dayton.
I think what his point was, he's trying to make those players is just don't get too far down. Look, it happened last year. We were able to bounce back and make the run that we did. So
the way I looked at it, and I was talking to Dick Girardi, your co-worker, about it, and he said, "Hey, look, if they had won out and won a game in the A-10 tournament, probably in.
Right.
If they lost the date, they probably needed to win two games
right.
in the A-10
yeah.
tournament. Now that they've lost to LaSalle, they have to beat Dayton.
Yeah.
Have to.
Yeah, have to win there. And and at least those two still, and maybe more in the A-10.
Which it probably means they're going to get Dayton again. You're almost looking at beating Dayton twice in 2 weeks.
Right, exactly.
And then how do you take Dayton over Temple?
And it's funny, after Xavier, you just throw all the A-10 teams and get a 30 hockey stick and stir them around, and you know, teams don't know what's going to happen. Just like those drinks you used to have at
A-10. Oh, here we go. Yeah.
Whoa.
Get out the
Kool-Aid and stir it up.
Bob Cooney. 37-36 at the half. Bob Cooney of the Philadelphia Daily News. Thank you so much for the insight.
Time.
Always great seeing you around.
See you after the game.
Article done yet? The great Bob Cooney of the Philadelphia Daily News. You can check out his story tomorrow on either Philly.com or you can just, you know what, you can go and buy the paper itself. Nothing like people that don't do that. They do then, man. On a Saturday morning, with a cup of coffee, and reading about the recap of this contest. The Quakers have the lead in 37-36, and they now have the ball from left to right. Rosen in control for the red and blue. Underneath on the right block, Cam Lewis is able to draw the foul and route to the rack, and that goes against Jarrett Fiddler of the Bulldogs. And then what did you see in the first half? How the Bulldogs managed to tighten this field up?
Well, Penn goes 2-for-7 down the stretch, including 0 for their last 4. And Yale just kept plugging away at them. Both teams, you know, in a game that's a one-point game, no surprise that the stats are fairly even.
Lewis on the right block, 4-2 from Eggleston. Pardon me, good man.
Asked me a question, Celtic, and then he got me all distracted. Plus, that's a relative lead. Hearing paragraph. And Penn comes out in the second half and runs two set plays for Cam Lewis, trying to get the ball into that low post, work the inside out a little bit.
Cam Lewis now is 9. A little touch at the foul line for Pinnock as he produces a pair. Travis Pinnock with 6, and the Bulldogs have retained that one-point deficit. Ball loose the foul line, come back the other way. They're split by Pinnock with a head of steam. Yale looking for the lead to the rack, unable to get it to go. Fiddler fighting inside, cleaning up for 2, and giving the Bulldogs the lead is Travis Pinnock, 42-39, and for the Yale Bulldogs, that is just their second lead of this game. As Lewis tosses it away, tipped off by Pinnock, an intentional foul called against Tyler Bernardini. You can't believe it, but of course, it actually was an intentional foul.
You can't just reach out and grab a guy like that when he's ahead of you. Tyler wanted to argue that one right there, but it's relatively easy call for the official if you're going to try and break it up that way.
And now they're letting Zampier shoot the free throw. And he hits it, but he's not the one that was fouled.
Oh, we might have another do-over.
And that is a difference of an 83.3% free throw shooter in Zampier and Travis Pinnock, who's just a 48% free throw shooter.
And Dan Miller wants a technical foul for intentionally sending the wrong man to the free throw line.
So again, Zampier is shooting at 83% from the free throw line, Pinnock at 48, but now they have Pinnock at the stripe.
This is tremendous. I've never seen a do-over in a college basketball game, and now we've seen 2 in 2 weeks.
Pinnock gets the bounce to bottom home as Yale increases their lead to 2, 41-39. This would be the largest advantage of the night for Yale, and that one is well sort of barely hits the iron for Pinnock. And now the Bulldogs have possession with 18:52 remaining in regulation, leading at 41-39. Pinnock will inbound with 11 points. Andrews crossing the timeline in the middle of the floor. At the far right point, Zampier. Zampier, top of the arc, Andrews, swinging it near left on the wing. To Pinnock at the foul line, Nelson trailing behind to Zampier, pulls up a high post. Shot done off, Lorin, left side lane, turns to face Eggleston now, fading away, way too strong, knocked out of bounds, they say it was last cut. By Cam Lewis and the question.
A pretty good post defense by Jack Eggleston. Good low base, moving his feet. Forces Marin into the tough shot. Unfortunately for Penn, Fiddler knocking that ball out of bounds, but he gets caught off Cam Lewis.
Andrews deep in the middle of the floor. Now drifts far right, top yard Marin. A quick release, and he cannot connect for 3. Knocked out of bounds this time by the Bulldogs.
Actually, it's just they got it wrong that time, too. That time it was out of bounds on Sam Lewis, so... You know that pity I let you hold last week, Tubby?
Yes, sir,
it's
man.
It's time for you to pay me back, baby. 18-11 to go in the second stanza, 10 trailing, but with the ball, the score 41-39. Left side of Lane Lewis with 9, looking for double figures, and a little touch for 2 by Cam Lewis in double digits. Very good spacing again for Penn offensively. Cam Lewis guy struggles a little bit when he gets double-teamed, but when you're spaced out as well as you are, he can operate.
Vampire cannot unbreak the 41-41 tie as he misfires on the 2 at the top of the key. Rosen rumbling back the other way. Goes to Bernardini above the arc in the middle of the floor. Eggleston top of the arc. Far left point to Rosen. Kevin Agee in the far left corner. Stop clock at 20 for the Quakes. 41-41. Score all not enough. Lewis an entry pass. Just falling out of bounds. Puts it back outside the save to Rosen. Shot clock at 8. Rosen, top of the arc along. 2 on the way. Off the iron. No. And with the rebound, Paul Nelson.
Yeah, looking to run a little bit now. Austin Miss now slowing it back down.
Nelson,
if you're a team like Yale who really struggled scoring, you got to get out and run. Try and get an easy bucket here and there.
Andrews near left point at the left high post. Nelson. Nelson looking to hand off to Moran, who frees himself on the left block. Patiently puts in 2.
And that gives Yale the lead back at 43-41. And that's just Moran taking it up through two Penn defenders as they get a foul on Chris Andrews.
The second team foul against the Bulldogs. 1 for Penn here in the second.
And now Harrison gains in. Zach Rosen out.
Iggy inbounds deep in the middle of the floor to Harrison Gaines. Gaines with 9 through the first 20 minutes of play. His first action in the second stanza. 43-41. Bulldogs with the lead. Nice spin move by Gaines to the near right baseline. Near right point to Bernardini. Bernardini rumbles to the rack. Through hole. Gets the bump and the bucket for Tyler Bernardini. Evening it up at 43 apiece with 16:27 to go in the second. And Tyler attempts to unknot the tie at the line.
It's not often that you funnel a man to the basket, but that's exactly what Pennick did right there. Play Tyler so he was not able to pass the ball out to the top of the key and funnel him right to the basket. Nelson looked like he was surprised that was what was happening. He gets there late and a good finish by Bernardini. He's going to get a chance, as you say, Tuffy. The old-fashioned three-point play.
Tyler Bernardini with 10 points, looking for his 11th, and a 44-43 lead to the Penn Quakers with 16:27 to go in the second. On the way for Tyler, around the rim, and through a tying bounce for the Quake sophomore. So Penn up by 1, 44-43. Yale trying to get Jordan Gibson into the game to no avail. Sam skips the top of the arc to Porter Braswell at the right high post. Zampier cannot knock down the jumper with the Karen Tamworth. He nearly throws it away from Gaines. Ahead of the pack, Eggleston can't get the over the shoulder away, and he tried to tap it out, but it goes to the Bulldogs to Zampier. An opportunity goes by the wayside for Penn. It makes 44-43. The homestanding Quakers in front by 1 with 15:52 to go in the second. Sands up faking on the left side of the lane. Justin forces left, and the ball doesn't even get the rim in the hands of Cam Lewis off the deflection. Gaines at the right high post, ripping foul line. Nice look to Eggleston, who goes up strong and gets past no hoop.
Jack Eggleston, that's one he would love to have back. Harrison Gaines, a nifty pass kind of back across his body. He says, kidding me? Yeah, Marin's going to check in through us again for like the fourth time. Dude, go another 8 feet. He's kicked that
ball. He's been here before. You know, you look for the guy at the scores table wearing the official jersey, and we ain't that.
Yeah, that's for sure.
15:38 to go in the second. Timeout on the floor. The score, 10, leading Yale, 44-43. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
From AT&T Home Survivor Story. Mark and Dave were on their annual winter camping trip when...
Ooh, a snake! I know how to pick him up. You just grab him behind the head.
Yeah. Ow! Oh, get up! Mark was doomed.
Look at that thing, right against yellow, after a dead fellow.
I'm going towards the light! Grandma, is that you?
He's crying? Luckily, Dave went to the AT&T phone sale and got a great deal on a phone that takes pictures, sends email, and accesses the internet.
Dude, is that my new phone?
It's not poisonous.
Oh, thanks to AT&T, Mark survived the annual winter camping trip.
Save your pride.
His dignity did not.
Don't tell the game, okay?
Pathetic.
Shut up.
What will an AT&T phone help you survive?
Come in now and get the LG sign for just $9.99 after mail-in rebate. The new AT&T. Your world delivered.
Pay $59.99 for a phone and after mail-in rebate, receive a $50 AT&T promotion card to use a wireless service agreement required. Certain gear battery cover for the charges and restrictions apply. See store for details.
15:38 remaining in regulation, 44-43, Penn a tenuous one-point edge over Yale alongside Duke Kern, Brian Stelton, a great T-shirt toss in-man taking place here at the Palestra.
You know my theory on this, right?
Well, why don't you remind me?
Kids get T-shirts, good-looking girls get T-shirts, fat old dudes do not get T-shirts. I've never had one drop in my lap. Now, I want to amend that. Doc Pandolfi, the unofficial physician of the Penn Quakers, has for two games in a row now negotiated a T-shirt for his grandson. As the cheerleaders come up to throw him, he's just like, hey, I'm talking to her, like, hey, him, right here, give him one. And it worked.
Eggleston got his first free throw, 45-43 Penn. The second for Jack, he drains it as well. Jack Eggleston with 6 points, two-thirds of those coming from the charity stripe. 46-43, and a nice response after the Red Bulls fell behind. 15 and a half to go. At the far right point, Jordan Gibson for the Bulldogs. Far right baseline, Kinnick looking for Morin on the post, a whistle away from the play. Crime against Penn, and Jack Eggleston, that is the second team foul for Penn, and the third for Jack Eggleston. Yale has four team fouls, inbounding along the far right baseline. Porter Braswell for the Bulldogs and the Road Blues. Gibson trapped along the far right baseline, but the double team. He kicks it out to Braswell, who cycles to the offense for Yale. Braswell to Pinnock at the near left point at the foul line. Marin, a bullet pass to Gibson. He can't get it to fall, but cutting in off the miss. Paul Nelson. It's 46-45, 10 by 1 with 15:01 to go in the second.
Looked like Penn was in a 3-2 zone right there, and Marin does a great job of flashing to the middle.
Bernardini throws the long two from just under the arc. On the near right wing, Tyler Bernardini with a team best 13, and Penn back up by 3, 48-45. 14:40 to go with the cluster. The squeaking of sneakers going on as Yale operates offense.
And Penn is in that 3-2 zone. And twice in a row, they've gotten the ball on the flash to Marin, who has found a man on the backside of the zone. That time Gibson makes the layup. Last time he missed it.
Bulldogs down by one again, 48-47. Lewis in the lane, running over Braswell, and Cam will be charged for the offensive foul.
Could have called him for a charge or a traveling violation. Either one, a relatively easy call for the official, and now that's number three on Cam Lewis. So Eggleston and Lewis both with three. Turley and Riley into the game.
So the starting bigs for the Quakes bench because Heath has three personal fouls. 48-47. Penn a slim one-point margin with 14-13 to go in the second. A field goal gives Yale the lead. Marin, left side of the lane, goes to the baseline. Riley knocks the ball out of his hands, but Marin recovers. 18 on the shot clock for the Bulldogs. Braswell at the near left point, picked up by Riley. Nice team by Justin Gibson under the arc near left of the foul line. Far right to Zampier. Shot clock at 5. Zampier pulls up. Connect as the Bulldogs go back in front. 49-48.
That's one of those, what are you going to do? I think Kevin Higgy plays pretty good defense, forces Zampier to pull up. We're going to get a foul on Nelson on Connor Turley coming across the lane. And on the other end, just to finish that thug, Zampier makes a tough shot. And then they get Nelson hanging on to Justin Riley as he comes across the lane. And Greg Mangano for the replace.
Greg! Big Greg Mangano, it's 6'10", 240 there, man. 240. Gaines at the near right point for Penn on the perimeter. Penn trailing again. They're down 49-48. And Riley had the ball robbed right out of his breadbasket. Dampier with the take to the chin for two. And it is 51-48. Yale by three. 13-20. You're on the second. Iggy explodes back the other way. He looked to hand off to Curley. And it'll be a foul again. The Bulldogs, Gibson, might be the sixth in foul.
Now, both teams in the half court going with the zone, and I think that has a lot to do with the team's inability to shoot it from three. Penn made four early, but only one for their last six from three-point range. So Yale saying, I'm going to pick my poison with this one.
Curley at the foul line. Can't get the jumper to fall with the rebound Marin as the Bulldogs bring it back from right to left with a 51-48 lead and a whistle against the red and blue. Connor Curley called for the crime. The fourth team foul.
Yeah, Penny did. Fortunately, it was not a flagrant foul, and Connor Curley didn't get rung up and thrown out of the game, and James Jones can't come over and lobby the bench, or lobby the score, say, hey, run that back so we can watch it for 15 minutes.
Curley's going to pick up fouls in now, but I like the way he mucks it up, and off the inbounds, an easy 2 points on the right block for Ross Marin. Timeout taken by Glenn Miller and the Quakers as the Bulldogs have a 5-point lead, their largest advantage of the night at 53-48 with 12:59 to play.
And that time it looked like Curley got caught trailing Marin over that screen, and no help as the screen comes around. You've got to cut that man off, otherwise he dives right to the basket and gets a layup.
The Bulldogs, Vince, they really have made a concerted effort to work it down low beneath the bucket here in the second half. We saw Kinnick slither in there, Marin getting involved as well.
Well, Yale, physically bigger. Like, you can tell that they have spent a lot of time in the weight room. They are pretty jacked up, and that's where their advantage is, and that's what they're going after, and to their credit, it is working for them right now. Penn needs to use what their advantages are, which I think they're a little quicker. I think they're a little more athletic. That's where Penn's going to have to get it done. But they can't give up that kind of deep post position.
The Yale Bulldogs, they are not the same squad on the road as they have been at home. The John Daly Amphitheater has been a great advantage to them throughout the season. They're 7-2 in New Haven. Their only loss is coming against the Quakes, and Stanford as well. So Penn not in poor company there. But on the road, Yale 4-11.
Did Stanford lose a bet to go to Yale play?
How they got the return on that? I mean, Yale went out there
seven times.
2008. Yale is the most traveled team in the Ivy League this season. So there's 10 non-conference games played. They trekked 9,962 miles to be precise.
Man, is that frequent flyer miles, or is that bus miles, or how did you calculate that?
By land and by sea.
No. Mainstreams and automobiles.
By land and by air, I should say.
What's going on? They didn't take any boats.
What's going on
around the ancient age?
You know what,
Brian?
We'll give that to you. The next stoppage of play.
Thanks, Brian.
As we go back to the action, Penn with the ball from left to right, trailing 53-48 as James is short on the running jumper at the foul line. A foul on the play. That will be the Bulldogs' seventh. So now 1-1 upcoming for a Penn Quakers club. It is 41 free throw attempts for the last four games in there.
A lot of free throws, so see. It's over 10 a game.
Yes. As a matter of fact, they have missed at least 10 during that stretch.
That's
64% as Rob Belcourt gets the front end of the ball.
7-for-9 tonight so far, Selke.
Belcourt brings his squad within four. 53-49 with 12:49 to play in the second. At the Palestra, and winless in four Ivy League games on their home floor, as Belcourt unable to convert on his second attempt. His total is 3 on the evening, and Penn still down by 4. Porter Braswell to Mangano at the right high post, and a whistle away from the play. Penn flag for the foul. Tyler Bernardini.
So that one's a little touch foul for Tyler Bernardini, but when you draw these pistols like you did in the first half, and when you kind of get at them a little bit, they're going to have eyes on you. So you need to be a little more judicious in the use of the histrionics towards the officials.
Got to play the game off the inbound. Porter Braswell gets the handoff from Mangano. 12:30 to go in the second. not a terrific pace for this one. As Yale leads 53-49. Stop of the arc corner, Braswell. Throws it off the kneecap of Rosen as the Red and Blue retrieve it. Gaines leading the pack. Left side, Votel lost the ball but was fouled as he went up. Two shots coming.
As Jones wants to kick ball right there, and I think he's got a case.
And comes very close.
He's getting the explanation of he didn't move his foot, and James Jones looks like, remember those, you don't remember, this is before your time, but back in the day they had those little kickers that you hit on the top of the head and the leg would kick out and hit the football. That's what he looked like right there.
Brennan Vosell at the foul line to try and carve a Yale 4-point lead. He does that, make it a 3-point deficit as he knocks down number one, 53-50, with 12 and a quarter to go in the second. First point of the night for Brennan, who, as we said earlier, well represented at the Palestra tonight. The second one, good for Brennan Vosell. As he makes it 53-51, 10 down by a pair with 12:15 to go. Four more press picks up. You know them, man. The Votels always bring it.
Yes, they do. Maybe I'll get introduced to their son Ross tonight.
Simpson at the near left point. Top of the arc to Zampier as Penn tries to extend the D. Zampier penetrates the paint, kick out top of the arc to Braswell. Shot clock at 14.
And Penn out of the zone, back into the man-to-man.
Marin turn around to the right. Baseline, nothing but the twine for the senior forward. Out of Cincinnati, 55-51. Yale back up 5-4 with 11:39 to go.
And Marin and Votel have been playing against each other since they were in high school. Know each other very well. It's a nice step-back jumper. Not bad defense by Votel. Just a good shot by Marin.
Rosen touched to the key with the left hand short. Taps it back to Brennan, who can't get the rattle to roll home. Zach fighting to stay with it under the rack, and he was the last one to touch it.
Out of bounds. Off 10.
Bulldogs ball on the other side.
The Quakers with the gov right now.
Yes.
This is a pretty good picture.
This is the Quaker
and the gov talking hoops across the way.
11:22 to go in the second. Timeout on the floor of the score. Yale 55-10-51. We try to have some fun. Here on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
I'm basketball fan. PECO isn't just committed to providing you with reliable, affordable energy, it's committed to the community. PECO supports a wide variety of arts, educational, environmental, and neighborhood programs for Quaker Hoops fans of all ages. And PECO employees volunteer thousands of hours as board members, mentors, coaches, and tutors. It's all part of PECO's commitment to customers and the community. For more information on PECO's community involvement, visit their website at www.pico.com.
Penn fans, if it's enhanced coverage of the Quakers you praise, then sign up for the Red and Blue resource that provides us, the Penn Sports Network. Exclusive access to live and on-demand video and audio webcasts of football, men's and women's basketball, wrestling, volleyball, and more, all available on PennAthletics.com. Results of the Penn Men's Basketball Weekly Podcast, taking you inside the program with insight from head coach Glenn Miller every episode. Select the package that suits your Penn Press and Best. Register online at PennAthletics.com. 11:22 to play in the second, 55-51. Yale on top of Penn at the Palestra alongside in turn, Brian Seltzer, Betsy Denning back at the board in balance. Around the 8th we go. Harvard hammering Columbia, 56-41, 6:42 to go in the second. Dartmouth being grubbed by Cornell, 66-49, 3:21 remaining in that one. And Princeton has overcome a deficit against Brown to take a 50-48 lead with 3 to go in the second there. Here at the Palestra, as we said, 55-51, Bulldogs in front with the ball in the lane. Mangano for the jam as Yale stretches it to a 6-point lead. Their biggest balls of the night.
And it goes past Bernardini and gets to the baseline, has to get help from Brennan Votel, whose man is Mangano, who ends up open for the dunk.
Bernardini gets fouled, and the finish as he put up the jumper on the near right baseline. Well, this turn, Tyler Bernardini is in shooter's form tonight. And he makes it 57-53, a chance to get this down to a one-possession game with 10:54 to go in the second.
That's a big bucket by Bernardini right there after giving up that dunk on the other end. Yale had a little momentum, but Bernardini not able to make the free throw, so still a 4-point game.
Far sideline right of the wing. It is Vampire at the far right point. to Chris Andrews. Deep beneath the corner, split T, and in the paint, picking up a foul. It appears to be Rob Belcour for Penn. And this, if you take a look at the configuration for the place right now, they have Bernardini, James, and Rosen, with Belcour playing a forward spot at the four, Votel is the five. Brin off the inbounds under the foul line. Stopped there by Votel. The two Cincinnati area products. Andrews, top of the arc to Tampere, near left point on the wing. 22-2, Tampere spinning. And the A-1 baseline kick out the rim, feeding down low to Mangano. Ball loose, three on the floor, picking it up is Marin. Marin and the Bulldogs have 13 seconds on the side clock. Tampere zips to the left side of the lane, cuts inside, draws contact. No connection, 10-14 to go in the second, 57-53 Yale, but they have a 1-1 upcoming here.
Another 50-50 ball right there that Yale comes up with. No reset of the shot clock. They do a pretty good job of recognizing, and Zampier gets the ball all the way to the rim through three Penn defenders and makes the first free throw, and now Cam Lewis for Brennan Votel. Trying to get a little more interior defense, Glenn Miller. Hoping Cam Lewis' length will help with that.
Cam with three personal fouls. Zampier sends in his second, a switch as well. So Yale reestablishes their 6-point lead at 59-53 with 10:06 remaining in the second stanza. Lewis top of the arc. Lewis with the handle to Harrison James. James to the foul line. Back to Cam. Right block. Pushes his way in. Gets hacked. No hoop. But Cam Lewis, who is shooting efficiently, we shall say, from the foul line tonight, goes back to the strike.
A pretty good move into the lane by Harrison James. Throws back to his screener, Cam Lewis. They often say, if you set the screen, you will end up open. That, in fact, was the case. And Cam Lewis jumps into Mangano, gets the foul call, and now two free throws, Celtics.
Lewis stands in for his first, and that one is just short, off the rim, no good. Kevin Iggy checking in along with Jack Eggleston. They relieve Harrison Gaines and Tyler Bernardini, respectively. Penn goes a little physicality out there on the floor right now.
Well, that's the way Yale wants to play, and they're out there muscling it up, and Penn's got to react a little bit to that.
Cam Lewis on the evening with 11 points and 4 rebounds. The senior really has had a very strong finish to this 2008-2009 season, as Cam cannot connect on his second, and standing tall for the rebound, Paul Nelson, score remaining 59-53 with 9:47 to play. Still a whole lot of time left. Top of the arc, Mangano at 6'10", very lanky, with a lot of length. On the right side of the lane, Nelson, triple team, now is one-on-one with Cam. Back it in, kick out, top of the arc to Andrews. Shot clock at 10 for the Bulldogs. Hit it for the near left corner. Foul line, Mangano looking to make his move. Step by Rosen, recovering his hips in the full, and it's good. As he was way off balance. Deliver the deuce, 61-53.
If you're Glenn Miller, what do you do there? I mean, your defense is good. It's solid. There's a loose ball at the end of the shot clock. And Gibson just kicks up an 18-foot prayer and knocks it down.
Lewis is able to draw the foul as he pirouetted in the paint, man, with 9:07 to go in the second. 61-53 is the score.
Misty nimbleness, Chelsea.
Pirouetting in the paint.
Yes.
Cam Lewis back to the line, sitting on 11 points. He's had at or more than 6 points in 7 consecutive games. Double digits in now 4 of his last 8 tilts as Cam cannot get the bounce. As he's 0 for his last 3 from the line. And Glenn Miller understands that this is a situation he has to deal with. Cam gives you a lot of good, and unfortunately, this is just
an area a little bit from the free throw line.
Still remains 51-53, 8 points to edge for Yale, the largest of the night, 9:07 to play in the second. Cam's second one, that one is no good either. Rebound to Gibson. Back the other way come the Bulldogs. 61-53. They lead it. Gibson weaves to a hole near left. Kick out to Andrews, far right. He punches the hole in the paint. Hands off to Nelson, who punishes inside for two. 63-53, a 10-point lead. Glenn Miller takes a timeout as the Bulldogs have seized control of this game, and Vince, there has been a swing of 23 points. The 10 had their largest lead of 13 with 9:03 to go in the first.
And we talked about it at the time, Penn shooting it as well as they were and still not able to build up a big enough lead. They really got off to a quick start from three-point land. And now have struggled since then, and Yale has methodically worked their way back into it.
8:45 to play in the second stanza. 63-53. Bulldogs on top of the Penn Quakers as the red and blue once again find themselves in a, well, undesirable situation on their home court at the Palestra. They have lost in this building 9 times this season. 8 games officially were home contests, considering that the one against St. Joe's was officially a roadie for the Red and Blue. And with the ball from left to right, Iggy, far left baseline, kick out Delcor, far left point. Top of the arc, Lewis, looking for Edelson, right side lane, turns around, can't tally two. Ball three above the rim, but bottled up by Andrews for Yale.
You get a decent shot if you can. Ball into Jack Edelson. Fades a little bit. You like to see him maybe go up a little bit straighter, I guess is the right way to put that. But, you know, a little fader right there gets him open. He's not able to knock it down.
Pinnock lost the ball on the far right baseline, out of bounds. They say the Quakers are the last to touch it, much to the dismay of the fans seated in the section closest to where the call was made. Stopping the shot clock at 17, game clock at 8:05. 63-53, Yale with the lead and the ball.
Penn struggling offensively to get Gaines and Bernardini back in there. Need to get a little more offense, or at least potential for more offense. Two guys that can get it going and scoring bunches.
Andrews makes his way top of the arc, and he throws it away.
Right in that left
hand.
Good one. Andrews got a little ahead of himself right there. He's looking all over the place and whips that one to Fiddler. I'm not sure, like, what's Fiddler going to do with that if he catches it?
He's going to kick it out of bounds.
It was doomed from the start.
7:56 to go in the second. Timeout on the floor. The score, Yale on top of 10 by 10. 63-53. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Penn Sports Network.
And now, let's get back to two chuckleheads on sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint a chest. Fill your thoughts. Have to go team jersey. It's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy. Paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you
are. No, you are.
Anyways, next up, the Wave. Like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989, the Wave is about as cool as acid wash tech jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans will nod off of the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree?
Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious.
G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice,
but you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter. It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We need a list of the Palestra. Back in here on a unseasonably warm February evening. 7:56 to go on the second. 63-53. Yeah, leading 10.
You know what they say, Selfie. Justin Timberlake may be bringing Sexy back, but Sexy never left me.
You see the Grammys?
Miss it.
His performance with the soon-to-be jailbound T.I.
I think you're talking about Chris Brown.
Top of his head now.
Chris Brown.
Pop culture, look out.
Yes.
Tyler Bernardini with the ball for Penny. He goes top of the arc, Edelson. Hands off to Gaines. Gaines, dash to the hole. The right-handed runner drops in the cup for Harrison Gaines to end Penn's drought. Now, 63-55, Penn trailing by 8 with 7.5 to go.
And Yale in a 2-3 zone right there. And Gaines has pushed it right down the middle of the two, and nobody steps up to stop him.
Yes, he did.
I missed the cough button.
On the near left baseline, Penny trailing to Fiddler. Gibson at the far right point. Pinned there by Iggy. Picked up by Eggleston. Gibson still controlling. Top of the key goes to Pinnock. Touch pass to Nelson on the left block. Can't get the bounce off the iron. With the board, it is Bernardini. And back the other way. Red and blue looking to get on a little run. Gaines pushing his way into the paint on the left side. Goes to the bench and passes in for two. As the timeout is taken wisely by James Jones with 6:52 to go in the second, as Penn has brought this down to a deficit of 6, 63-57.
Harrison Gaines twice in a row taking the ball into the basket. And Yale, I thought on that last possession, it looked like they were trying to run out the clock. You know, there's a lot of time left in this game. They were sitting on a 10-point lead. A little too early to take the air out of the ball.
His previous three games, since he scored 19 at Yale back on February 14th, Harrison Gaines prior to tonight had totaled just 19 points and was 6 of 22 from the field. Well, he has 13 this evening, and he is now 6 of 8 from the floor.
Harrison Gaines, once playing against Yale, once playing against Cornell, there are a couple of styles that fit him. That game flows a little bit against Cornell. He can use his quickness against this Yale team.
Yale with the ball. They feed Marin on the far right block. He now is pushing the baseline. Works his way inside well short. Gibson touches the missing for two. Gibson with 8 points. His average is 3.9 per game.
And then Tyler Bernardini just missed him on the lost him on the block out right there. And Gibson gets the easy stick back.
Eggleston ignites far left baseline. Quickly a double team on him. Nearly threw it away. 65-57 Yale with 6:13 to play. Eggleston top of the arc. Lost the ball. And it's picked up by Chris Andrews. He feeds it ahead to Gibson. One-on-one with Bernardini and an offensive foul. All the buckets. As good as Gibson gets the harm as well.
And I'll tell you why that's a blocking, why that was called a blocking foul instead of a charge. Tyler Bernardini gets there, I think, in enough time, but doesn't want to take the contact. So if he spins in there and takes the blow with the charge, he leans and it's falling, and it just didn't look like a charge.
So Gibson goes to the line. Jordan Gibson, the junior from Fairfax, Virginia, completes the three-point play, and it's now 68-57, Yale by 11 points, their largest lead, with 5:57 to go. And Penn has had this problem throughout the season where they let guys who customarily do absolutely nothing as Glenn Miller take the timeout burn them for big games. We saw Sam do that at Yale to make it interesting 13 days ago, and now Gibson, they let him get loose for 11 points. He has
got to block the guy out. I mean, like that play right there. I mean, he hits a tough shot early. What are you going to do? But on a play like that, and I think he has one other stick back where he just hasn't, where nobody's put a body on him.
5:49 to go in the second. 68-57. Penn band picked this as a St. Joe's home game at the Foster.
Do not say anything about the band. They're here. They're trying to make this feel like a college basketball game. They're enthusiastic. I don't care what they play.
You know what? I'm in full agreement with you.
Yeah. Okay, well, if you want to rescind that prior comment,
sure, we take that wrong. Penn will inbound from left to right. Gaines will punch it in for the Quakes. On the floor for the red and blue, Bernardini, Iggy, Eggleston, and Cam. A long lob into the backcourt to Bernardini. 18 on the shot clock for Penn. 68-57, down by 11. Iggy got on the board early with 5. He now works it to the rim, and he gets the finger roll to fall on Hewitt 70, and now it's 7. 68-59, back down to a single-digit deficit for Penn. Far right point, it's Porter Braswell with 5:23 to go in the second. Far right point, Zampier tossing to Marin on the right low post. Marin works it to his left, back to his right, back to his left, short on the shot, rebound to Eggleston.
And he made the move so slowly that he walked in just his center foot. Now you get a foul on Braswell on the other end. How do you miss that?
Yeah.
He goes to the drop step and then goes up and under and then goes basically goes up and under again.
James has two shots, 10-15 foul against the Bulldogs, 68-59. Still a whole lot left in this game, 5 over 4 to play in period number 2. Harrison is at the stripe. He has 13, make it 14 as he flushes his first free throw. Harrison Gaines for the 12th time this season in double figures. Pinnock coming in to relieve Jordan Gibson, who has been a huge difference maker for the Yale Bulldogs this season.
And Glenn Miller going a little offense, defense, puts Rob Belcourt in for Tyler Bernardini, trying to contain the Yale.
Off iron on the second, tapped out by Camden Harrison. Harrison's runner drop for the plate. 68-62, a six-point game. Full court press picked up by Penn. 4:53 remaining in regulation. Zampier draws a double team through traffic to the rack around the rim as he extends the palm and places it a pair.
And Penn with the run and jump right there. Once you get past it, we get a foul on the other end on Braswell. You have to attack and try and make teams think. Zampier does just that. But Penn, to their credit, comes right back in the other direction. And Kevin Iggy getting to the 10. Going to get two free throws.
Kevin Iggy, he has 7 points for this evening. A nice little stretch for Kevin Iggy. He had 9 knocks against Harvard on Saturday. Here comes Kev, puts the ball above his head. A dribble on the floor. The right-handed senior sends it on the way, and it is good to make it 70-63 with 4:41 to play in the second half. Iggy with an even 8 this evening. We're going to get to 9. 2 dribbles on the hardwood. The senior puts it up. Off the iron, no. A nice box out and board by Ross Moran of the Bulldogs. The score remains 70-63 Bulldogs. 4:32 to go in period number 2. Fans wanting an illegal screen call against the Bulldogs did not get it. They got to run into the screen to get that. Now we have a foul on Harrison Gaines. Harrison Gaines, Marin kept sliding up the court with the screen, but Harrison Gaines never got hit, so it can't be a foul call until there's actually contact. 4:21 to go in the second stanza. 72-63, 19 foul against Penn. Porter Braswell at the line.
You just like saying it, don't you?
Porter Braswell. At the strike is the sophomore guard. Will likely take over the point position full-time next year. That's the graduation of Chris Andrews. He gets the front end to fall. That makes it 71-63. Yale with the lead. Yale, they're not a good free throw shooting team. They're actually 7th in the Ivy League, but last weekend they shot 72% from the stripe combined. That is short, and a second no good by Braswell. 71-63. But they're not doing great in this game, good night.
Thinking like Abe Lincoln tonight, 9-18.
James looking at a crossover dribble, top of the arc has Bernardini at the near right point, rolling it to Lewis. As Lewis draws the foul, but now Cam is going to have to make some free throws. If Penn wants to tip their way back into this game.
That's one of those that Glenn Miller's got to be sitting there today. Don't call that one.
We're going to pass.
You can play it like hockey. You know, until Yale gets the ball back, then you know, play with an extra man.
Cam Lewis at the line. Big free throws upcoming for the Quakers senior center. And that one is no good as Cam has missed his last pick four.
It's 3-for-4 and now it's 3-for-9.
5. His last 5.
And he made his first 3, didn't he? So it would mean he missed his last 6.
I thought he missed his...
All right, Selfie.
Whatever, it's not good enough. But that one is good to make it 71-64. 7-point game with 4:07 to go. Full court press picked up 5-10. It gets away from Braswell. He recovers
across the timeline far right.
Top of the arc, Marin. Marin back to Braswell. Far sideline right, Zampier. The crowd for the Quakers comes alive. Zampier. An air ball scooped up by Lewis. Penn pushing tempo left to right. Gaines, top of the arc, a long 2 off iron, no. Alive above the rim. Cam lost it, but a foul on the way down against the Bulldogs.
So Cam Lewis experience will continue after this break. Back to the free throw line for Cam. 3:42 remaining in regulation. Timeout on the floor to score. Yale leading 10, 71-64. You're listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is Defense Sports Network.
I'm telling you, what do you love about Cuban Mexican Grill? I love the taco salad.
Fast, fresh.
Burritos, quesadillas, tacos.
Five sauces.
Oh, yes. I got to the point that if I had to eat something one more time that wasn't good for me, just because I was in a hurry, I was going to go crazy. And I found Qdoba, and I'm up.
Yeah, you can get me for a month straight to get something different every day.
Everybody can make what they want, and
that's a good burrito.
That's what I love.
That's what I love about Qdoba. Qdoba Mexican Grill. Hundreds of original flavors you won't find anywhere else. Only fast, fresh, and right in front of you. What are you going to love at Qdoba?
Penn fans, for the most up-to-date information on Penn Athletics, visit the new and improved official website of Penn Athletics at PennAthletics.com. Create your Quaker E-Pass today for a one-stop shop for merchandise, streaming, tickets, auctions, and more. You can watch exclusive videos, subscribe to podcasts, and also get the latest details on your favorite teams with blogs from Penn Athletics coaches and players. Go online today to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
950 ESPN.
WGN Philadelphia.
Three to play in the second half at the Palestra alongside Vince Kerr and Brian Seltzer. Penn is going to need the next 3 minutes and 42 seconds to pull this one out. 71-64. They're behind the Bulldogs of Yale. They were up 37-36 at the break. The Quakes have not lost a game this season when they took an advantage into the locker room. And they're getting their opportunities, but they've only gone 8 for their last 17 from the free throw line in a game where you trail by 7 points. Obviously, need to shoot better than 14 for 25. 23 for 40 from the floor. Really can't complain about that. And they've done a better job taking care of the ball since that stretch in the first half. Only 12 turnovers now for the game. At the foul line, Lewis unable to get the bounce on his first, so it remains 71-64.
It's like Tim Cup.
You know, I feel so bad for Cam that he's out there. He can tell he's trying so hard, and he just can't. It's like somebody tackle him, but it's Tim Cup. You know, this poor kid is out there giving it his all, and he just can't seem to find it from the free throw line.
The second one rattles off, rebound goes to Moran, and Cam, listen, there is no one who knows that free throw shooting is an efficiency of Cam Lewis. More than Cam Lewis. I mean, he could barely speak. He was so distraught after the last game against Harvard when he went 2 of 8. Ball out of bounds along the far left end line. They say it was last touch by Rob Belfour.
Not getting a foul, actually, Selke. They're going to call Kevin Iggy with the shove, so saying the ball was out of bounds. Doesn't matter who it was off, but they say it was caused by the shove of Kevin Iggy. And the Quaker faithful not too thrilled with that call. 3:27 to go, 71-64. Zampier, the best free throw shooter on Yale's squad at the line, locks in for his first. Alex Zampier on the night with 11 points.
Now 12, Selfie. That was his 12th.
Thank you, good man.
You're very welcome.
A little slow on the uptake, am I? Zampier looking for a Baker's dozen here. And that one pops out. It remains 72-64. The disadvantage for Penn is 8 with 3:22 to go. They need points quickly. Tyler, far left, thought about 3, and he threw it away. Far sideline left. Nelson intercepts the pass. Awful timing for the Quakers to call front.
Bernardini had two players run at him, tries to find Belcourt in the corner, and just kind of looked like he wanted to pull that pass back as he was throwing it. Ends up languishing there in the corner, and then Yale picks it up.
15 on the clock, clock for the Bulldogs. Marine kick out to Braswell, near left point, 72-64. Bulldogs down to 2:47 to play. Jeff here, the crossover for three. He connects. A long two. His foot was on the arc, far right, 74-64, a 10-point game for Yale with 2:35 left. And that could end up being a telling 2 points. Game. The left baseline runner. Short. Offensive rebound. Eggleston found on the way up.
That one actually got blocked by Nelson. That's one of those foul calls. I like the effort by Jack Eggleston to get the offensive rebound. I like the aggressive take back up.
But I always kind of feel for the guys that are there after the guy has the rebound. They're standing there with their hands up, and they've surrounded him. Which kind of goes up through him, and with the aggressive move, gets the foul ball.
Jack Eggleston, second best on 10 in free throw shooting. Cam is number one. Down 74 to 65. Jack Eggleston on the evening with 7 points to go along with 5 rebounds. He has another free throw on the way. On the floor for Penn, Rosen, Belcourt, Gaines, Iggy, and at the line, Jack Eggleston seeking his second free throw to make it an 8-point game, and Jack cannot hit. Jumping up for the rebound, Pinnick, and a full court press, a fly by Penn ahead of the pack, we're in to the rack, the finger roll falls. 76-65, an 11-point game with 2:13 to go.
And when you press up like that, your defense gets all out of bounds. Good play by Marin to sneak long, and good play by Andrews to find him, and an easy two.
Gamecock still holds towards the rack, and he gets hacked in the process. With 2 minutes and 2 seconds to go, Vince Curran, yeah, leaving 76-65. Yeah, this one might be a little late in finishing.
It might be a little late in finishing. It's probably going to be a few free throws shot before it's all said and done. James Jones says, time out. I want to talk this one over.
So, good man, we'll take an opportunity to talk about what is happening around the 8th of 8, courtesy of the Abner's Out-of-Town Scoreboard, brought to you in part by Abner's Seasafe of University City, located on the corner of 38th and Chestnut Street. Columbia has slipped in 2 straight league games, losing tonight at Harvard, 72-63. Meanwhile, the Crimson have collected 2 in a row in conference competition. Harvard now 4-7, Columbia 6-5. Princeton knocks off Brown. They have reached a 6-4. Brown down to 1-10 with a 56-48 triumph at Jadwin. And the Cornell Big Red, they weld in there. Let's see. Well, they won 75-57.
They cannot clinch.
They cannot clinch tonight, but
I don't think they'll be able to clinch tomorrow night.
If Yale loses and Princeton loses, they will. So Cornell wins 75-57.
Correct. But Yale and Princeton play one another, Brian.
Yes.
That was what I was getting at.
Sorry,
so this will go into next week.
I don't even want to think about that. As James drains his first free throw, make it 76-56 with 2:02 to go in the second half. Foul line, James cannot knock down his second. And on the way down, 10 fouls, Travis Pinnick.
And the long walk to the other end of the floor, Pinnick, an atrocious free throw shooter at a rock solid 47%.
And that's, you wouldn't expect that from him. I mean, he's actually best on the Bulldogs in shooting from the field is 52%. Now, that has a lot to do with the fact that he takes it inside.
All he does is get dunks and layups.
Oh, wow. Air ball. Whoa. Outstanding. And that wasn't even a bunk air ball. He shot that about 4 feet short. It was like an 11-foot free throw.
It's just a bad night all around at the Cholesterol. The Bulldogs still lead at 76-66 with 2:01 to go.
Pinnock
goes in the books as 1-2.
11-point lead reestablished for the Bulldogs with 1:57 left. Iggy free near right for 3, throws it in the 10. 77-69. An 8-point deficit for Penn to overcome in 1:44, time ticking off the clock, inbounded by Pinnick to Zampier. Zampier beats Rosen, now beats Eggleston, gets the bunk and the bucket to pretty much wrap this one up with 1:35 to go.
Nobody stops him.
He gets the ball on the inbound, he's the third option, and then just pounds it up court, and Rosen can't quite get there, Gaines can't quite get there. Zampier has never stopped. And Jack Eggleston, the last line of defense, ends up getting him with the body. At the line, Zampier, and with that free throw, he negates the Iggy triple as it's 80-69, 1:33 left. top of the arc. Tyler Bernardini taking three. Hands off to Rosen. Rosen pitching it to Gaines at the near right point. He goes baseline. The right-handed winner around the rim and two. 80-71 at 75 seconds left. Full court press put on by 10. As Bernardini reaches in for his fourth personal foul. Well, Vin Man, it is tough to figure how the Palestra has proved such a foil for Penn this season. They're down 80-71 with a minute 12 to go, and they came out on fire. I'm just kind of looking back at the game stats, and they came out shooting so well early, 14-19, as the delay is, and Tyler Bernardini has just fouled out. So Rob Belcourt in for Bernardini. Tyler Bernardini got the Quakers scoring spark with two straight threes early in the evening in the first half. But a lot has changed since then as Porter Braswell is at the line shooting two. Penn had a lead of 13 points with 9:03 to go in the first. But that has certainly evaporated. And there has been a swing of currently 22 points, and now makes that 23 with the free throw by Braswell. So 81-71, a minute 12 to go.
Penn's at 28 points at the 8-minute media timeout. So now in 32 more minutes, they only score another 43 points. Yeah. Is my math right?
Yeah.
And they got off of that hugely successful and fast start, and they just have not been able to score.
Belcourt, right block, gets the foul on the finish to make it 81-73. An 8-point deficit for Penn with 62 seconds to go. A chance to get it down to 7. Well, this is not an impossibility for Penn. They have to rely on, as Marin has fouled out for the second time this season against Penn, they will have to hope for the Bulldogs' core over the course of the long season. Those four free throw shooting to rear its head. But Yale's done a pretty good job of getting the ball inbounds and then getting right up the floor. And they've also had the ball in the hands of Zampier and Chris Andrews to the extent that they can. They're two better free throw shooters. Andrews at 81% and Zampier at 83%. So I wouldn't expect to see Travis Finnick getting his hands on the ball too much. And they also have Porter Braswell on the game at 77%. So Finnick will be your inbounder. Yep, there he goes. He's inbounding the ball. Belcourt completes the three-point play. It's 81-74 and a holding foul away from the play on 10. So no time kicked off the clock. No for two Bulldog misses here. 10 sitting at 4-5 in the Ivy League. Yale at 6-4. Penn finished the first half of their ancient eight plate at 4-3 on a streak of three straight wins, but they are in danger of dropping their third in a row in conference competition since then. And there's a miss. Well, you get a miss from Chris Andrews, who on the season is shooting at 81% from the free throw line. That's his fourth miss on the year. Second one for Andrews, the right-handed senior. That one's good. 82-74, an 8-point lead again for the Bulldogs. 60 seconds to go at the Palestra. Rosen works his way to the far left wing. Hands off to Eggleston on the baseline. Hands off to Zach in the far corner. Eggleston far left to three. Off the iron, no good. Rebound clinic. He lost it, got it back, and then was fouled, stopping the game clock. At 42-6 of a second to go in the second half, 82-74 Yale.
Zach gets a pretty good look there on the kickback from Zach Rosen. It's not able to knock it down. He's had a good closeout by Fiddler late. And then Finnick looked like he was going to lose that ball to Kevin Iggy, and it popped up in the air, and then he just snatched it back. Now the good news is, the last time he was here, he shot a legendary air ball.
And he can't get the bounce that time on a high-arcing free throw attempt. Score still stuck at 82-74. Penn trailing by 8 with 42-6 of a second to go. Hit a second one around the rim, and it bottoms home. 83-74. Yale has not won over Penn at the Fletcher since 97. Gaines' right-handed runner is all cotton, counted for Gaines, 83-76. That was a quick conversion by the Quakers, as there is now 38 and a half seconds to play. Penn good man got a good night from Cam Lewis. Dozen points for him.
Rebounds, a couple of blocks. A nice night for Cam. And just those struggles from the free throw line. And at critical times, you know, it's unfortunate that he was just struggling right as Yale started to open it up a little bit.
38 and a half seconds to go. Again, winners earlier this evening, Harvard over Columbia, Princeton taking down Brown, and Cornell cruises against the Dartmouth Big Green. Dartmouth having a nice year overall, though, at 65 in the Ivy League. This is the final year on the contract with Terry Dunn, so perhaps he gets a stay in Hanover, New Hampshire.
Well, he's going to lose Alex Barnett next year, so it'll be interesting to see. I would think they would take a few steps back, but I don't know, a lot of people lining up for that job.
You've got the fireside in.
Yeah.
You've got everything but anchovies. You've got Dartmouth women's basketball, which is a perennial Ivy title contender.
Another reason not
and
to want it.
And the great Northeast, then, man. And no, I'm not talking about Cotton and Buckley. As Yale looks to end down with 38 and a half seconds to go, up 83-76.
It's just filling at this point.
Well, the Bulldogs go back to the foul line as the Penn Quakers in danger. And you hate to give these stats. You do, but it's just, it's part of the story.
And pulling your Herzog, you're going to give all the stats.
My predecessor, Adam Herzog, taught me to research well in terms of stats, both for and against the Quakes.
Over-prepare and under-deliver.
That's right. Andrews misses on his first, so it remains 83-76 with 38 and a half seconds to go. Penn is not lost nine games at home since the 1930-31 season. Well, that could change tonight as Yale now has made it 84-76. Penn nearly lost the ball off the inbounds. Gaines kicks it to Rosen, has Belcourt near right. He fires for three. Off the iron, no. A half a minute to go. Zampier is fouled as he brought down the rebound, stopping the game clock at 29 and 8 tenths of a second. Left 84-76.
And just not a problem that is presenting itself here, that is showing itself at Penn has. Not a lot of three-point firepower. You know, and when you need to come back in a game like this, it would help if you had three or four shooters who you could rely on consistently, although I guess the flip side of that is if you had three or four shooters you could rely on consistently, you wouldn't be down 10 points to Yale on your home court for the fifth loss in a row. So you kind of...
Sam Pierre got it first. The second one tapped that one as well. 86-76, 29 seconds to go, shot clock turned off. Gaines to the top of the arc, 25 seconds left, and he nearly throws it away. Belcourt gets the deflection, goes to Gaines, far left, hits the three, and it's 86-79, 19 and a half seconds left. Full court pass by Penn. Penn is looking to inbound. He has Andrews, who's swatted out from behind by Kevin Iggy. They'll walk the floor again with 18 seconds flat to go. 86-79 is the score.
This one started a little late and now running a little long. Eating into your social life, Selfie, isn't it?
Yeah, well, not on a Friday night in the Ivy League. Then
right.
I've got to get a...
I'm just checking.
Head start on preparation for tomorrow. As Andrews is short on his first free throw. 86-79. 18 seconds to go in the second half. Andrews twirls the ball around. Dribbles twice. And gets the bounce to bottom home. Make it 87-79. Shot clock off with 16 seconds left. Gaines, wide to the left on the three, and picking up the rebound is Zampier. Penn backs it off with 10 seconds to go. For the first time since the 1913 campaign, the Penn Quakers will have lost five consecutive Ivy League contests at home. And the Palestra wasn't even built then. So this is the first in the storied history of this venerable venue as Penn is down by Yale, 87-79. The Quakers now 4-6 in the Ivy League, and they are 8-16 overall. Yale improves to 12-13 and 7-4 in Ivy League play. We'll have the Comcast Sportsnet postgame show on the other side. You've been listening to Penn Basketball on 950 ESPN. The Penn Sports Network.
Welcome to Fascinating. When you hear this, move to the next station.
Hi.
Hi.
Whoa, what the heck are you doing?
I brought my own buzzer. I like to maximize my data results.
Searching for true love? You're going to love Chili's new crisper creation.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Try Chili's new chicken crispers, starting at just $7.99. Like our new Buffalo Chicken Crisper Bites with apple root, roasted bacon, and blue cheese dressing. And try our new crispy chicken tacos, top of ranch and chipotle sauce. New chicken crispers, starting at just $7.99. Chili's, severance and new flavor.
Severance is fine. We're all concerned about the cost of healthcare. And there's a company that's made a serious commitment to doing something about it. That's United Healthcare. And they provide plans designed to offer more for your money. United Healthcare makes it easy to get the care you need when and where you need it. The plans provide access to more than 520,000 healthcare professionals nationally, including more than 21,000 in Pennsylvania alone. A consumer-driven health plan, CDHPN, costs less money up front, but they don't give you less. These plans come with online tools and wellness programs that can help you get and stay healthy and save on your coverage. And as a United Healthcare member, you receive discounts not offered by traditional insurance, like a LASIK eye surgery, health club memberships, and more. United Healthcare, healing healthcare together. Find out more at unitedhealthcare.com. United Healthcare Services Incorporated. Insurance coverage provided by or through United Healthcare Insurance Company or its affiliates.
Picking up where the action left off, it's Red and Blue Rewind, presented by Comcast Sportsnet. Now bringing you a complete recap and reaction from coaches and players and analysis of the final stats. Back to Vince Curran and Brian Seltzer.
It's just a tough statistic to wrap your mind around if you've been following this program for a while. And you don't want to dwell on the negatives. But 0-5 at the Palestra in Ivy League play is 0-5 at the Palestra in Ivy League play. And it is just an enigma to figure out why this team has suffered the way it has on their home floor as Penn loses 87-79 to Yale. Yale picking up their first win at the Palestra over Penn since 1997. As the Quakers have lost 9 contests at home, the first time since the 1930-1931 season, and
that was my freshman year.
And as I bring in Vince Kern, my partner here on the Penn Sports Network, we'll go around the H8 in a second and give you some audio highlights. But Vince, the coaching staff made a deliberate effort to keep the attitude upbeat and positive of practice this past week.
Yep.
They really just focused on that so much, but still you come out with the same frustrating results. And we are not, it is a disappointment that this is what the record is. The kids, they are trying. We see them in practice. They are working hard.
They're good kids, and they're trying, and unfortunately it's just not translating into results. And a game like tonight, you almost got a little bit fooled early because they shot it so well and were killing it from three and just were not able to keep it up for the entire course of the game. And you know, it is frustrating. It's frustrating for the coaches and the players. And you know, they just got to keep, as Glenn says, keep working hard at it, trying to get better each day, and hopefully end this season on a positive note.
87-79, the final score at the Palestra. Penn now 4-6 in the league and 8-16 overall. We will go around the H8 on the Abner's out-of-town scoreboard. Brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, located on the corner of 38th and Chestnut Street. Harvard victorious over Columbia, 72-63 the final. Harvard now 4-7 in league play. Columbia down to 6-5. Dartmouth beaten up big time by the Big Red of Cornell, 75-57 in Hanover. Brown outlasted by Princeton at Jadwin, 56-48, as the Tigers have bounced back nicely against after Penn beat them to close out the first half of Ivy League play. So, right now, as the Ivy League standings go, Cornell still in front, poised for their second consecutive Ivy League title.
But now, that's going to happen until next weekend, so one of the nice things about the Ivy League, when you win it, you can get that whole first week of the tournament coverage by being the first team into the tournament. Not going to happen this year.
Unfortunately, the man, as I try to look at this through red and blue goggles, the last thing I want is for Cornell to have a chance to win the Ivy League title.
I understand that. I'm more commenting on, normally the league gets that 1 week, and more often than not, recently it has been your red and blue clad Penn Quakers. It's just, I'm more commenting on the fact that this Ivy League race is going to go down to the last weekend for the first time in a while.
And at all, this has been a very, good year for the Ivy League as far as parity and teams beating other teams, and in the standings it's been a little bit closer. So you have Cornell at 9-2. Yale is now all alone in second place at 7-4. In third, it's Princeton at 6-4. Tied for fourth, you have Columbia at 6-5. Dartmouth at 6-5. Penn is in sixth, still at 4-6. Harvard is now 4-7. Brown bottoming out at 1-10. Once again, Harvard, Cornell, and Princeton all winners. Columbia, Dartmouth, and Brown all losers. The Penn Quakers drop a tough one at home, 87-79, to the Yale Bulldogs. Audio highlights on the other side. You've been listening to Quaker Basketball on 950 ESPN. This is the Comcast Sportsnet postgame show on the Penn Sports Network.
From basketball fans, real fans watch Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better. Tune in to Sports Night every night at 6:30 and 10 and catch the latest highlights, news, scores, and updates from all your pro and college teams, including comprehensive coverage of the Quakers. Even after the games go off, the game goes on. Comcast Sportsnet. Nobody does Philly sports better.
And now, let's get back to New Chucklehead Sox Sports, presented by Diet Pepsi Max.
Next on the agenda, wear a team jersey or paint the chest, fill your thoughts. Have to go team jersey, it's so obvious.
Wrong again, smart guy, paint the chest. It takes passion and artistry to paint the chest.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Anyways, next up, the Wave, like it or hate it.
I like the Wave.
Me too.
If it were still 1989,
come
the Wave
on.
Is about as cool as acid wash peg jeans.
The Wave is a timeless classic.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are. Okay, next up, fans are not off the game.
Inexcusable. I say no to nodding off. Wake up, people.
I agree. Inexcusable.
Wait, we agree?
Why is it inexcusable?
Because they can just have a Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
We've got nothing to argue about here.
Well, how do you spell ginseng?
That's obvious.
G-I-N-S-I-N-G.
Nice.
But you spelled it wrong, Captain Gray Matter.
It's E-N-G.
Sound it out. It's ginseng. Ing.
You're wrong.
No, you are.
No, you are.
No, you are.
Zero-calorie Diet Pepsi Max with ginseng and more caffeine.
Penn basketball fans, if you're looking for a cheesesteak in University City, there's no better place than Abner Cheesesteaks, the neighborhood tradition. Located at 38th and Chestnut Street, Abner provides a full menu of sandwiches and also is available to cater your next event. And remember, when the Quakers score 100 points in a home win, use your ticket stub from the game to redeem a free cheesesteak. For more information, visit their website at www.abnercheesesteaks.com. Abner Cheesesteaks, a proud sponsor of Penn basketball.
Betsy Deming really just has a knack for picking tunes with context is the title of that song, Hard to Handle,
by the Black Crowes.
Yes, it's the Penn Quakers fall 87-79, first time since 1913. The Penn has lost five straight Ivy League home games. Time now to go to the highlights here on the Comcast Twitchnet post-game show. Well, it started great. It started great for the Quakes. Oh, it looked so good early. And that was behind some hot three-point shooting of Tyler Bernardino. Eggleston, top of the arc, far sideline right on the wing with 13 on the shot clock to 80. Top of the arc, Bernardini buries it from beyond again. Another three, and the Quakers are by 2-6-4. Tyler's in man, finishing with 15, 6 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from the outside, and that was nice to see from him. after he came off back-to-back games below double figures for the first time since January of 2008.
And he is so important for Penn offensively to give them that perimeter threat. They're should be their best shooter is the guy that has the most potential to fill it up and do scoring bunches. And just unfortunate that Penn was not able to ride that wave to a little bit bigger lead and able to give themselves a little more cushion.
He sparked the scoring, and the Quakers stretched it to their largest lead of the night, 13, at this point of the first half. Iggy at the foul line, near sideline left on the wing. The right-handed runner by Gaines is good on the near left baseline, so Harrison Gaines has got it going on early. He has knocked down 9, and Penn with their largest lead is 13, 28-15.
So Penn at that point, Vince, you're thinking, yes.
Yes, it is off to a good start. Maybe they'll break that funk at the Colestrian Ivy League play. And a nice night offensively for Harrison Gaines with a career-high 24 points. 10 of 15 from the floor, 2 of 4 on the outside, 2 of 5 from the front.
And Harrison Gaines, another one of those guys for Penn that can be a streak scorer, get it going. And as we say, same thing we said about Bernardini. Gaines a guy they can pull it up in bunches. 24 points in 27 minutes is terrific. Only one rebound and one assist. You'd like to see him be able to give you a little more than that, but you really can't complain about 24 points.
So at that point, 28-15, 10 in front over Yale with 9:03 to go in the first half. But as we will now hear, it got tight. It got tense in the opening stanza as we worked our way toward the half. Nelson, top of the arc, 7 seconds to go in the first. Penn is sucked inside, delivers the deuce with 3 seconds to go in the first. 37-36, Penn is... And we said, Vince, going into the break, that Penn had not lost a game this season when they were up at halftime. Well, that little note has now lost the side of tonight. And
the Quakers, Yale grabbed the momentum, yeah, too, at the end of the half. Penn was shooting it so well, had that 13-point lead, then all of a sudden, like Penn at Princeton about a week and a half ago, getting into that big Princeton lead at the first half, having the momentum going into the locker room. Tonight it was Yale who chipped away at a big lead and was able to have it all going their way going into the locker room.
37-36, Penn was up at the half, but the Quakers, as you said, Vince, they could not contain the Bulldogs after that. Yale got some offensive opportunities on the block, and by this juncture of the contest, it was pretty much all field for visiting Yale. Gibson weaves through a hole near left, kicked out to Andrews far right. He punches a hole in the paint, hands off to Nelson, who punishes inside for two. 53-53, a 10-point lead. And Vince, at that point, 63-53, Penn just could not overcome that deficit. They ultimately lose by 8 points, 87-79, Yale, 40-34 points in the paint, converting 23 points off of Penn's only 13 turnovers. The problem with that is Penn only 11 points on just 6 toss-ups for a Yale team that entered this evening having committed the most turnovers on average among teams in the Ivy League.
And defensively, Penn is not able to get enough pressure on Yale and create those turnovers. And Yale, give them credit. They pounded the ball inside. They dictated the way this game was going to be played. It was a slugfest. Both teams a little bit ugly, a little bit chippy, but Yale comes out on top. Neither team really killed it from the free throw line, by the way. You would say, hey, Penn 17 for 32 in an 8-point game could have made some headway there. But yeah, you look at Yale 20 for 36. You use the same argument with the 20-point game. So both teams gave the other chances to make headway in this game, and unfortunately for Penn fan, Penn just ends up on the wrong side of it.
Penn has now missed 56 free throws in the last 5 games. 87-79, the final score. Penn now 4-6 in Ivy League play. 6th place, Yale. They are in 2nd at 7-4, Penn 8-16 overall, 2-9 at the Flushing home games, 2-10 overall at the Flush at the Cat the St. Joe's contest. Good man, time now to anoint your St. Joe's playoff.
I know a lot of people would probably argue for Harrison Gaines with 24 points. The thing that I'm struggling with is one rebound and one assist. And it really, that says to me, is a lot of one-on-one and not getting other guys involved. But there's nobody else to really take them out. You look down the list, and Tyler with 15 points had it going early, but Cam Lewis would probably have been my vote, but 4 for 12 from the line and at critical time. So I think as much as I don't want to downplay Harrison's 24 points, I would love to see him give a more complete effort.
You got to earn the smoke if you just play on the game.
Expectations of him and with his skill set, I think, are a little higher. So that's the only comment on that. But Harrison Gaines, Smokey Joe's player of the game.
Harrison Gaines, as Vin Man said, is the Smokey Joe's player of the game.
Hey, Brian.
Yes.
What is Smokey Joe's?
The Constitution, Vin Man, if you haven't heard.
Best lining in the business?
I'm done better, bud.
Hey, I got a question for you, Smokey.
Sure.
Where is Smokey Joe's?
Well, Vin Man, if you were to walk out of the plaster, perhaps you're in your car listening to the Comcast Sports Network Post Game Show on the Penn Sports Network, and you were to stick a little horseshoe on the Chestnut, on the 31st, at the right on Walnut, and take that due west.
Land the plane, so
until you get the 40th, and you make a left, you will find Smokey Joe's between Walnut and Lincoln.
You know, everybody listening to this, Smokey, knows exactly where
you posited that theory to me before. The final score, Penn loses 87-79 to Yale. Yale's first over the plethora since 97 over the Quakes. Penn back to work tomorrow against Brown. Pre-game show tipping at 6:50 on 9:50 ESPN. Vin Man and I will talk to you then. The executive producer of Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network is Brian Head, studio coordinator, the incomparable Betsy Deming, sports information director of Penn Athletics, Mike Mahoney, and now for my partner, Vince Curran, this is Brian Seltzer saying, so long from a disappointed Celestial with the Penn Quakers fall, 87-79. Locker room up next on 950 ESPN. Remember, Brian Dawkins, not gone yet, so hold your horses. I'm sure Danny Schwartz will talk all about it. Inside locker room right here on 950 ESPN.
2008-2009, Penn Men's Basketball on the Penn Sports Network has been brought to you in part by Abner's Cheesesteaks of University City, CNA, the Comcast Network, Comcast Sports Center, Holiday Inn Historic District, Independence Blue Cross, The Inn at Penn and Penn A Restaurant, Pico Energy, The Philadelphia Inquirer and Daily News, Springfield, United Healthcare, and World Cafe Live. For extended coverage of the preceding game, log on to the brand new PennAthletics.com.
Mike and Mike in the morning.
Joey Mack in the midday. And Mike Missanelli in the afternoon.
950 ESPN.
WPEN Philadelphia.
Philly fans, your search for sports talk at night is over. Welcome to the locker room.
The team you want to talk about.
The name you want to hear from.
It's primetime sports talk with a passion Philly fan share.